Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Listen, bring a single malted Glengarry for me and one for my boy Mikey here. And did you tell the bartender to go easy on the water? And this 50-cent piece has your name written all over it. Okay? I want you to run along because I'll be timing. I'm going to keep time. One, two, three, four.
What is that?
Baby, that was money. Tell me that wasn't money.
That was so demeaning.
She smiled, baby.
I can't believe what an asshole you are.
No, baby, she smiled.
She was smiling for an asshole.
No. She was smiling at how money I was.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Spice Girl number 6 and Spice Girl number 7.
Yeah.
Enter and sign in, please.
Let's say hi to our first of this show. This is our conjoined twins, Lori and Dory, are here.
The swinging and singing Chappelle sisters.
Let's give them a round of applause.
Hey, girls.
Hi, ladies.
How are you?
Let's get you gals situated here.
Let's get the microphones all set.
Robbie, do we have microphones for the gals? All right.
How are you? Good to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You are Lori.
Yes.
And is that Lori in the nice blue dress?
Okay.
Which is which? Who's wearing the vest?
That's Lori, and this is Dory here.
I'm Lori in the blue dress.
Oh, hold on, I got to. Rob, I'm not getting anything on remote 3.
Hello?
No, I'm not getting anything on that microphone.
How about check 1, 2?
Oh, hold on. Got it. Try it again.
Check, testing. There we are.
Gotcha.
All right.
Gotcha.
All right, now you try your microphone out, Lori.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Lori.
There we
Hi.
Go.
Well, there she is. There's Lori. And Dory?
Yes.
All right.
Now, I did not know that Dory was such a fiery redhead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Now, I want to ask you a personal question. Do the carpets match the drapes?
Oh, no.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think you're going to have to be a little more explicit there. No. How was your trip down in your limo, ladies?
Fine, thank you.
That's great.
Yeah?
Yes.
How long did it take you to get down here to D.C. from Pennsylvania?
A little over 3 hours.
A little over 3 hours?
Yeah, they have food and drink in the limo. Did they treat you right on the limo ride down here? No, they didn't?
No.
Are you hungry? Would you like something to eat or drink?
Starving.
You're starving?
Wow. All right, we'll get you something to eat.
Now, girls...
Yes.
But, you know, it's going to be real tough for me to make eye contact with Dory, because and I won't even ask you to, because they would have to...
Yes, that's right, because...
Like, juxtaposition.
How difficult is that when you were, when you're first starting out? That's got to be a little difficult, because she's looking in one direction. Dory, you're looking in one direction, and Lori, you're looking in the other direction. That takes some getting used to, I would imagine, right?
Well, we're kind of used to it now.
I guess you're used to it by now, because you're both, what, 35?
Yes.
Now, Dory is on a cart, which is why that was something we had wondered about, how you gals
designed it.
How you guys are going to... Wow. Oh, she designed the cart.
Dory designed the cart?
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
Where did how'd you come up with that, Dory?
Just do it.
Dory, you a little shy? I see Dory is nudging Lori a little bit.
She's always shy.
She's the shy one of the two, and you're kind of like the unofficial spokesperson for the two of you, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you like some guys to call in? Would you like to talk to some hot guys?
It doesn't matter.
Hey, I want to tell you something. I see where that reporter met him.
Oh, thanks. But I don't want to concentrate just on me, though.
Oh right. We will, of course. I'm just talking to you now because I see Dory covering her face. She's a little shy with.
And we're certain, Lori, we're not going to focus on you because Dory, you are the singer of the group, and you've done some singing, and that's what that's the main reason you guys came down here, right? You wanted to promote the fact that you recorded this album in Nashville.
Yes.
Wow. Now, what is the ultimate goal? Would you like to be country music stars? Would you like to be on that ridiculous Shotgun Red show?
I was going to say on the radio today, if there's anybody out there who wants to listen to her and maybe know somebody who would want to sign her up or anything, please give the radio station a call. They have our number, and we'd be willing to hear from anybody, especially my sister, because I think she deserves a break, and her cassettes are selling like hotcakes. I mean, we have to call in now to get some more orders for them. And And everybody that's listened to them loves them. In fact, there's a couple of people who've written her a couple of times, even after they've gotten the cassette, saying she was born to country sing. So if there's anybody out there who wants to sign her up.
Well, now you're putting a lot of pressure on Dory for her big performance here in just a moment. Dory?
Hey, that's
Dory,
what it's about.
Boy, Lori seems to be totally dominant of the two of you. Dory, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Are you still shy? You know, Dory, although I can't see you, I would imagine if you look to your right, that is Guy Burbank.
All right, now, Dory, can you see Buzz okay? That's Buzz. Say hi, Buzz.
Hi. Good to see you.
You can call him Buzz, or you can call him Guy, or you can call him Gus. He has many nicknames on this show.
Now, in the picture, one of the pictures that I saw that was in the newspaper that was sent to us is... was it you, Lori, or you, Dory, playing the guitar? Somebody had a guitar. Do either one of you play the guitar?
I was Dory that plays the
Dory,
guitar.
Dory,
she plays it when she's at home, but when she's actually singing, her band does all the instruments, and she just sings.
And how often do you get a chance to sing with the band, Dory?
Every time I get a gig, and right now we're just trying to sell the album.
That is so cool.
And we want to help you do that.
You know, I know a lot of people say this, but you guys have a lot of guts doing this, and I really hope this works out and this pans out for you guys, and we are really glad that you could come down here.
Now, I want to ask you some personal questions, if you don't mind.
Is that okay?
Is that okay?
I think we've been getting an ask for a while.
Oh, you okay over there, Dory?
Oh, it's just...
Let's do it. Oh, okay, you dropped your walk pin, okay? Listen, are you a virgin, Lori?
You can always give a no comment if you don't want to answer the question.
Comment.
No comment.
No comment.
No comment.
Dory, I know you're very shy on the subject, but I'd like to ask you. Oh,
hold on a second.
Don't worry about it.
Charlie, will you give them a hand? I think that the Walkman and other junk is falling on the floor over there.
Right. Keep slipping.
Not junk. Yeah.
Well, I just call everything junk. I know it's not junk.
And we're saying conjoined twins now because you corrected us on that the other day, and we're not saying Siamese twins anymore. Now we say conjoined twins. Have you met other conjoined twins?
Yeah, hold on.
Yes, we have.
And do they feel the same way about using the term Siamese twins?
Some of them don't care, but we've always been by the, you know, we always learned the right words for each thing, so and the only reason they were called Siamese is because the first twins ever conjoined were born in Siam.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I gotcha. Would you consider dating two brothers?
She right now isn't in the dating.
She's more focused on the musical career.
Yeah, right. She's focused on this career right now, and that takes up a lot of her time.
Now, because
she doesn't want to promise anything to anybody she can't deliver.
Okay, now that's a very nice sacrifice that you make then on the behalf of your sister.
Oh, because, I'll still date.
Oh, you'll still date.
Oh, yeah.
But now,
yeah,
see, okay,
no,
here's you get to the question, though.
All right, go ahead.
If your sister isn't into dating, but you two are as one, when you go on a date, your sister has to go with you.
But she doesn't have to be involved in it.
Okay, so she just kind of sits quietly by like you do when she's performing the music.
Right.
That's her thing is the music, and when you go on a date, that's your thing. And that's it requires a lot of compromise, doesn't it?
Right, but it works.
It works.
I guarantee I would never have the patience to do that. I couldn't stand being in the same room with my brother, for goodness sakes, when we were growing up. How have you two managed? What is your best memory of something that you two maybe started out on, something you wanted to do or your sister wanted to do, and you didn't want to do it and it ended up working out? Is there any, do you have anything like that? Do you know what I mean?
Things you guys both love to do.
So maybe something you found out you like to do because your sister likes to do it and you don't really have a choice about doing something on your own?
Well, I didn't like school, and she loved it, so I guess we both had to go to school.
Okay. Was school tough for you guys? Was that difficult? I mean, I would imagine it would be, because kids can be very cruel. I mean, to be honest with you, difficult?
But they're just kids, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you learn that.
Right.
Do you have a lot of trouble going to the bathroom?
No.
I mean, I'm sure you go to the bathroom. You know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I just went before we came on the radio.
Okay, now, how do you, without being extremely graphic, this is where the real togetherness comes.
Sure.
How do you work that? I mean, you go in, you...
do my thing, and she does her thing.
All right, she does her thing, and
you take
yours.
Turns, though, right?
What, Well, yeah.
When you get when you get to illnesses,
it's
if there's
like
ever
another family, I mean, one's got to sit on the toilet before the other one. They can't both sit on the toilet together.
When you when you get a cold, I mean, do you guys usually get colds at the same time?
No, you don't.
So you have totally separate health situation.
I've been sick for 2.5 years, and I've been sick on and off for 2.5 years.
So how are you guys doing now? You doing okay now?
I just have a little cold.
And do you have a lot of arguments about what television shows to watch or what type of music to listen to, what movies to go to?
No, she listens. It's really not that hard. I mean, she really listens to what she wants to, and I listen to what I want to. I watch what I want to. She watches what she wants to.
Now, you guys are both 35, and you've been basically on your own now, right? Do you guys live alone?
Yes.
You live alone?
Yes.
That's a surprise. I'm surprised at that. How long have you been living alone?
Oh, quite a while.
Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
About 15 years.
Mm-hmm. I want you to meet somebody on our staff. Would you bring Jimmy in?
Yeah.
Jimmy the intern.
We have a guy on our staff, and I'll tell you right now, he's kind of randy. And it's been a fantasy of his to have two girls at once.
Oh, no, he won't get it here. That's yours.
Oh, he won't get it here. Did you hear that? That's rejection for you, Jimmy the intern.
No. There he is.
But,
isn't he cute?
But she just said that.
Jimmy, come around on Don's side so Lori can get a look
he's
at
mine.
You.
What is, oh, Dory said that he's you.
He's mine.
Dory has already claimed you, Jimmy.
Okay. Oh,
no,
you know
no,
what?
No,
not for me.
All right, Jimmy.
No, she said he's yours.
No.
Oh.
She's telling me.
Oh, so.
You know what I want Jimmy to do? I want Jimmy, Lori, you can get a good look at Jimmy now. All right, now, Jimmy, I want you to run around to Buzz's studio so Dory can get a good look at you.
Although Dory has already tossed him away and said he can be Lori's.
Well, I want to see, Dory's got to get a good look at him. All right, there, Dory, can you see Jimmy now?
And I want to tell you something, Lori, Dory, whichever one of you gals, he's yours, okay, as my gift. If you'd like, that's my gift to you.
King Donnie, and he's moving his pawns around the board right now.
My gift to you, and I will tell you, you will never have enjoyed yourself as a woman until you've been with Jimmy the intern. He has a wonderful little tote bag full of all kinds of...
cash, she said.
Well, what?
She said she'll take the cash.
She'll take the cash. Yeah. She'll take the cash. Gals, we're going to...
Lori, don't worry about it. Jimmy is totally used to rejection. You don't have to worry about that at all.
I'm sure there's a young high school girl having a prom he can talk to. What, Lori?
You can have him. I didn't say you couldn't have him. I said, yeah, but I didn't say I wanted him.
Constant compromise with Lori and Dory.
Dory, do you think Lori was kind of interested in Jimmy?
Oh,
you know, I want to ask another physical question. You're joined at the head, and at the forehead. There is no connection up there as far as you don't have the same kind of thoughts or emotions or anything like that. And that would be.
And we've met conjoined twins who have.
Oh, really? That actually have that? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they're gone now. They've.
Mm-hmm.
And can I ask you another question, a physical question? As I look at you, gals, I see that you, Laura, you have your right eye, and then your left eye.
I still have it.
Oh, I see. Oh, I gotcha. Okay. I see. It was the angle that you were at.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But we both have two eyes.
You know, I bet it's convenient when you got an itch you can't scratch, though. To have someone right there to scratch the itch for you.
Has that ever happened? That's a good question.
I keep asking her to scratch my back. She goes, do it yourself. Do it yourself.
All right, girls. Well, listen.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a quick break. And when we come back, we'll ask Dory to perform her song.
Is that okay with you, Dory?
Yeah, we want to give you gals the national exposure that we saw that you were looking for in your newspaper article. And would you like something to eat? Can we get you something to eat during this break? Oh, hold on there.
They're
having
conferring.
A private conversation
they're
right
they're
now.
Conferring.
No, I know. She won't eat before she does anything.
Oh, she won't eat before she performs.
Do you want us to arrange to maybe fill the limo up with food on the way back so you can have? Because I think you should have a proper feast on the way home. Is that okay? That would be fine. All right.
Remember, girls, my gift to you. You know, the funniest part is seeing them hit each other. You know,
I just said, now. He said, there you go.
There you go.
Did you ever get in a real physical fight where, like, you were smacking each other or anything like that, Lori? Did that ever happen where you were really mad at each other?
You gals ever really have a real fight?
Pulled each other's hair or anything like that? No.
Cat fight?
No. Be kind of difficult, I would imagine.
Well, it would probably be easier for us.
Yeah. All right, hold on there, gals. When we come back, we will have the national radio debut of Dory half of the Lori and Dory swinging, singing Chappelle sisters.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate them coming down here today.
And we will hear her singing debut. And who knows, it could be the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's the next Barbara Mandrell.
Yeah.
You two could be like the Mandrell sisters.
No.
What?
No.
You don't want to be like
No, I know what she wants. She wants to be the next Reba McEntire.
Reba.
Oh, right. I see the red hair. Gotcha, Dory. Okay, stay there and we'll be right back.
You don't forget a thing like Siamese twins.
I believe they prefer to be called conjoined twins.
And hillbillies prefer to be called sons of the soil. But it ain't going to happen.
Lori and Dory. Actually, it's Dory who's going to be doing the singing here.
Now, during the break, Lori and Dory turned around. So now we can say hi to Dory. Dory, how you doing?
Fine.
Good.
And Lori, lucky you, you get to spy the shapely Guy Burbank in the next room.
What do you think of Buzz Burbank there, Lori?
He's kind of nice looking.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Very nice. I appreciate that.
Now, would you like him? I could offer him to you.
Yeah.
More than the other one?
Yeah.
Wow. More than the other one.
Wow, there you go.
Buzz Burbank triumphing over Jimmy.
All right. Just don't pull a GIF, okay?
No.
Use protection.
No. All right.
That's what I have to say. Now, I got you music on reel here, and the way we've got this set up is that the music's going to be going into Dory's headphones.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be hearing the music on the radio. Dory will be singing a cappella.
So you'll be hearing Dory sing a cappella, and that's the way you want it, right, Dory?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and it's our hope that somebody out there hears Dory singing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're interested in these gals, we'll be glad to forward any calls that we get directly to them. So now, without further ado, here now, do I introduce you as Lori and Dory?
No.
No, just... Just
when
as Dory.
She's singing, I don't get introduced.
Is it just Dory, or do you want any other kind of stage name?
They usually call... She's going to soon be called Reba, though, when she's being announced on singing.
Reba. Yep. Okay, ladies
and... that'll be her new name.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, that name's already been taken.
Yeah, but okay. That doesn't matter. There's a Doug Supernall, Doug Stone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's a lot of Dougs.
There you go. So she's changing it to Reba. Might as well go with the biggie.
There's Ty Herndon, Ty England.
Have you thought about the name Jerry Reed?
No.
We love Jerry Reed on this show. How about Jim Stafford? No, I'm just making a joke. Okay, here's the... What button is this on, Charlie? Reel one? Reel two? Reel two?
All right.
Let's see. Just get this started. Now, you don't want the music to be on the air, right?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Here's Reba. Can you hear that good? Well, they're dancing now. This way, and here we go. It's Dory.
We ordered up one more bottle of wine. You told me your story, and I thought about mine. You said when you lost her, you lost everything. It all started having a familiar ring.
Can we clap?
Yeah. Mine?
Yeah.
All right. It's a hoedown.
Yeah.
So I asked you to take me someplace quiet. We wound up at the river for the rest of the night. Somewhere around the break of day, I could hear it coming from a mile away. So don't say that word, not the one. We both heard too much. You may think you do, but you don't. It's just a fear of being alone.
She shouldn't talk very much, but she's a good singer.
That's for sure.
You're doing great, Dory.
Way to go, Dory.
You got some talent, for goodness sakes.
Reckless thoughts clear a path wider than a hurricane's aftermath. We both traveled down that road. Well, in the name of love, and a thing goes. Don't say that word, not the one. We both heard too much. You may think you do, but you don't. It's just a fear of being alone, like a child in the night. No one to hold you and tell you everything is gonna be alright. Yeah, I must admit, it's been fun, but that's no reason to jump the gun. If this is real, your time will tell. So let me bite my tongue, but remind myself, don't say that word, not the one. We both heard too much, you may think you do, but you don't. It's just the fear of being alone.
I see your sister dancing.
Yep.
It's not like she's just nodding out during this. Does it just fade out here?
Yeah! All right, Dory! Or Reba!
Hey, you kick ass.
Hey, that's pretty good, Dory.
Way to go! That's fantastic.
I only wish Conway Twitty was alive.
I know. Conway would love it.
He would love this. I could see you gals at Twitty City.
I think you ought to keep your name Dory, and because, you know, you got Reba, you got Dory, and you sounded great. That was great. Were you nervous when you started singing?
Yeah.
A little bit?
A little bit nervous.
You did well. That's fantastic.
And Lori, much as you say that you do your own thing when your sister sings, I did see you dancing.
That's right.
I saw you grooving.
Mm-hmm. I can do that.
All right. All right. And you're her number one fan, right?
Absolutely.
She has no choice in the matter.
That's right.
Well, yeah, I do. If I didn't like her, I wouldn't be her number one.
I love it.
Well, girls, thank you for coming by. It was a pleasure meeting both of you.
You guys are terrific, and we will make sure that on the way back that you do have the proper amount of food in that limo. Are we gonna fill that limousine with some food?
To the brim!
Now listen, I want to stay in contact with you girls, okay?
All right.
We want to call you. We want to find out what's happening.
That's my tape. I don't know who from the radio asked me to bring it along, so you can all have it.
Can have it. Well, thank you, Dory. Yes.
And you went down, and those are the songs you recorded down in Nashville, right?
Those singles. That's a single.
That's fantastic.
It has three songs on it. I should record. I want to record the next seven when I get signed up.
Well, listen. You give us a phone number that our fans can call to order your record, and I guarantee you sold some records today on the show.
You got perfect pitch. Right. That's great. And you know, and you have a band that you perform with. Do you have the name for the band that we can give the band a plug for you?
The band I played with is called Little Country.
Little Country.
Yes.
Little Country.
All right. Fantastic, Dory.
Right. That is Dory and her sister, Lori.
Thanks for coming down. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming by.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You did fantastic.
Right.
So listen, stay in touch, you kooks, okay?
Uh-huh.
I want to find out what happens.
We want to find out about Dory's music career, and we want to find about Lori's love life.
Hey, Lori.
Yeah.
H-O-T, hot. I'm guessing, can I guess? I'm going to guess a 38C.
Is he right, Lori? Or are you going to tell us?
Rob, will you grab a microphone?
You're not going to tell us, are you?
Am I in the ballpark?
Yes.
Tease.
Higher.
You tease.
Higher.
Hot.
Higher. Come back here. Let me get a better look at you.
All right. What is it?
A D.
A D.
D.
A D.
38D.
Yeah. Way to go, Lori.
Hey. Well, I applaud that, Lori.
Bravo. There they go. They're making their way out of the studio now.
Lori and Dory, the singing Chappelle sisters.
I love that.
That was one great feature.
We did not know until Dory sang. We hadn't heard the tape. We didn't know what she was going to sound like. And I was very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. And I'm real happy they were as personable as they were. And the questions about going to the bathroom and guys and all the other stuff we asked, they were very open to. So listen, we're going to get a phone number. They're not terribly organized right now.
Right.
So we're going to get a phone number. And if you'd be interested in ordering their records, then we shall, of course, encourage you to do so.
Excellent.
But just wait until we get a phone number with all their information.
Mm-hmm.
Our thanks to RMA Limo for all your transportation needs. Call RMA Limo at 1-301-231-6555.
And you know, it takes a lot of guts to get out there and do that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And Dory was nervous coming in, but I think she knows that she had a good experience here. And Lori, I mean, what can you say about Lori? I mean, Lori's just hot to trot.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
You guys, just for the record, it hit a new all-time low.
Oh, I would disagree. A new all-time high.
No, that was terrible. You cannot honestly tell me that you thought that was good.
I thought they were fantastic. I swear. I swear to my Savior Jesus Christ, I thought they were fantastic.
Now, let's get past the pity factor.
I'm not talking about
no,
pity.
No.
Seriously.
I mean, no, you gotta consider the fact that what she's dealing with and what she's singing with and what she's grown up with, and that is a factor, but it's not a pity factor.
Pity factor.
No, no way.
I pity you.
No.
I pity some idiot, some cletus like you.
Put it this way.
You know, you have got a lot of guts calling this show. You are pathetic. You really are.
I pity you.
What's your name? Why don't we get you exposed? Seriously, they came down here. They came down here. Their names were on the radio.
This guy won't give us his name. He's calling from somewhere in the Carolinas. We'd never be able to track him down. All right, Cletus. Well, you're the type of guy that gives the Carolinas the great reputation that they currently hold.
No, I'm just being honest.
Oh, you're just being honest. Yes,
totally honest.
And so many wonderful things have been said under the guise of I'm just being honest.
That's
I wish your mother would have aborted you.
That's fine. All I can say is I'm sitting here cringing.
Well, then don't listen, Cletus.
You know, you're cringing so much that you had to call and tell the entire listening audience that you were cringing, huh?
I'm sure I'm not the only one that was cringing.
Well, you know, the thing is, we weren't cringing, and we were sitting here in the studio.
You cannot.
I swear I wish you were aborted. I swear I wish you were never born.
Oh, please.
You know, someday, you were never born.
You know, someday the bottom line is someday you're going to grow up. That's going to happen. Maybe it'll be like when you're maybe it'll be when you're 70 or 75. But someday you're going to become an adult, and
you know
someday
what?
You know who knows when it'll happen. But maybe you will become an adult because you're not an adult right now. You're not an adult.
Even better, I hope something really bad happens to you, something debilitating,
now,
where you have to rebuild your life, and then you will call us and you'll say, Don and Mike, you know what? I haven't been the same since that accident. I'm trying to get my life going again.
Now, wait a minute.
Would you have me on your show to give me a break? And you know what I'll say? I wish your mother aborted you.
And then when you cry about it, and you're crying, and you're looking and saying, Dom, why did you say that? You're going to say, well, I was just being honest.
I was just being honest.
For this purpose, so someone would call in and object to it, and say you had this whole thing planned out that you could just rail on them.
Hell no.
Yes, you did.
The call we'd like to take would be somebody calling and saying,
wanted to know how to buy their record.
We would have liked to take a call saying, hey, I'd like to buy their record because I think they've got a tremendous amount of courage to do what they're doing, to come out in front of everybody. Oh, well, screw you. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you're doubting. Because I don't think you're just not an adult. That's all there, and it's pretty obvious.
I disagree.
No, you're not an adult.
Jerry Springer would be proud, guys.
Well, I take that as a compliment.
And he hangs up.
There you go.
Mr. Courage.
Arnie Abortion.
Arnie Abortion.
How come your mother didn't get a nice big hanger? Hanger? I hardly knew her. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going? Hello, Buzz. Hey, listen, right on, guys. What you guys did was a super great thing.
Hey, listen, don't get me wrong. There's exploitation here, and there's no doubt about it that I've wanted to have Siamese twins, conjoined twins, on the show. Mm-hmm. Did I know that they would be as personable as they were? No. Pleasantly surprised?
Pardon.
Yes. Did she have some talent?
And they
talent?
Were very nice, and I enjoyed it.
Yes.
I'm waiting for the phone number so I can buy their tape.
Well, we're trying to get it. As I mentioned, they're not terribly organized right now.
And they know, you know something. They know what's going on, too. They're fully aware of everything that's going on, and she's using it to, you know, to do this music thing, and she's having fun doing it.
You know, and God bless them both. They've been fighting the odds from day one.
Right on.
You know, that is cruel. Maybe I should have deleted that guy's call out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell that guy wherever he is. I'm John in Sacramento. See?
You know the thing, and thank you for saying that. For us, we appreciate it. You know, and it's just a question of being an adult, and that guy wasn't an adult. That's all there is.
And I think people should know that these were difficult circumstances. I think this was our first time to sing live on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very cramped studio. This wasn't easy for anybody.
I think he was an adult. I think he was a stupid adult.
A
stupid adult who should have been aborted.
Yeah, probably something about 25 going on 8.
Hello? Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
You're sensitive.
I thought the girl was not too bad. The guy that called in and said stunk and everything, we were out here listening to it a cappella. We couldn't hear any music in the background. As soon as they started singing, it was all voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll dare anybody to do that.
Yeah, I mean, singing a cappella is the hardest type of singing to do in the world.
Of course, she was fantastic.
Anybody, you know, to sing out without any music, you know, your voice sound, you hear every single
I know
voice.
That. Most people listening to the show now agree. I was just blown away. I you know, I just picked up. We got 12 lines ringing. Picked one up, and I thought it would be somebody saying, hey.
Sure.
I love that. How was I to know it would be a Cletus?
Sure.
Ain't that something?
Absolutely.
Well, our thanks to Lori and Dory.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fantastic, and we'll find a number for them. And now we will be able to continue an ongoing relationship with them.
Yeah. Sure.
To find out about dating and such.
Do we love oddities? Yes, we love oddities. Do we love Lori and Dory? Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Did we think that she was the next Barbara Streisand? No, absolutely not. But did she do an incredible job, considering where she comes from and what she's been dealing with? Absolutely. And she had perfect pitch. She was right on that. That's the bottom line.
Well, I think she is the next Barbara Streisand, but then I think Barbara Streisand really sucks. I don't see what all the hoopla is about Barbara Streisand.
Well, she's getting married, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
James Brolin, the luckiest man in the world.
Listen, I don't even want to get any more calls about this. Guys, are we still getting... Now we're just going to get people who will call in and say that they, you know, of course they thought they were great, and then it sounds patronizing. Hello?
Don.
Yes.
I want to apologize on behalf of your fans in the Carolinas. Cletus that called earlier?
No.
obviously just was trying to antagonize you guys.
I'm positive that everyone from the great state of South Carolina is just like him.
No,
we
just like him.
We send you guys. Him is called North Carolina.
You are all mirror images. All right, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right, goodbye. And our thanks to Lori and Dory. We got to do a break, and we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. And now, live from Washington, D.C., here's Larry.
My guest is Robert Daly. His newest book is A Faint Cold Fear. It is published by Little Brown. We'll be going to your calls at the bottom of the hour at 703-685-2177. Are you already working on the next one?
Well, I know pretty well what I want to do, and there's a long process to go through. I have to write an outline, and although I have a contract with the publisher, they have the right to, you know, diddle with my outline, which they always do. And I have to work out the details and then start it and then write it. And so we're talking about another year here. And the end of the year gets very long because whatever you may have done, I mean, you've written enough books to know this, until you write the end, at the end of it, you got nothing. You've been, you know, you can't sell anything until you finish the last page.
Who's your agent?
Huh?
Who's your agent?
ICM, Esther Newberg.
I know Esther.
Lovely woman.
I use Sterling Lord.
Oh, you do? Sterling was my agent for years and years and years.
I like him. He's not vigorous.
No.
He has a kind of nice manner.
Yeah.
I think if I were a full-time writer, I don't think I'd use Sterling. I like someone more.
Yeah.
For me, it's fine. You know, I get these. Although I just got a real nice advance to do a book on growing up in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Like Russell Baker did about Baltimore, right about just what the street was like in the neighborhood.
Well, you got four books already behind you.
Yeah. Yours on the bestseller list yet?
It's not yet. It's only been out 1 month, and the bestseller list is 2 weeks behind, right, as you know. But it's had wonderful sales in Europe. I'm really astonished.
Same cover?
I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. I don't like the cover. It's got two messages. Yeah, it's okay. It's got two messages on it, both of which are, you know, sort of against the female.
Can't read this.
In New York, but I really live mostly in Connecticut, in New Canaan.
East side?
West side, right opposite the Museum of Natural History.
Nice, I like this.
Yeah.
It's really growing, that area.
Uh-huh.
Columbus.
Yeah. Lots of empty stores, you know. These landlords who jack up the rents and force people out that have been there for years, now in our times, in the recession, they're stuck with it. Good.
Damn right. Now, I thought we were on a break. Okay, so we've been sitting here all the time talking and not talking. Does anybody signal me? Are we on a break? Did we take a break? No, we're back. Well, you never signal me back from a break. Are we on? Okay, thanks. Did anyone ever say, here's Larry? Did you hear it, Robert?
No.
Robert didn't hear it, and I didn't hear it. I'm just talking to the crew. I realized we're on. I looked up. I saw the light. Neither of us ever heard a signal come back. So we have been sitting here. Welcome to the Larry King Show. Our guest is Robert Daly. We're going to pause for news headlines, a word from your local stations, and when we come back, we will take your phone calls. Our numbers are 703-685-2177, and this is semi-hysterical. Yeah, we are on. Thank you. Okay, all I'm telling you is, Mr. Daly and I were sitting here. The last I remember was breaking for commercial, and we never came back. We never came back. So if we came back, we thank you. And if you heard us talking, I don't know what we were talking about, Robert.
We're talking about agents and things like
that. Agents.
Can't be much interest to...
Couldn't have been... If you heard whatever you heard, we didn't curse.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hypnolarious. The Don and Mike Show.
This one, I'll tell you, this one caught my eye.
All right.
It's about Japan. It's a chance for us to speak the international language of love.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese workers are taking a break from stress by paying big money to smash a room full of antiques. It is the latest wacky fad for Japanese.
Wow.
They pay a minimum of $1,000 for 15 minutes.
Oh, no.
Blowing off steam with a frenzied attack on fake antiques.
Oh, wow.
Fake. They're doing this at hotels. The average customer goes through a large porcelain vase, two or three pieces of ceramics, a soapstone Chinese peach tree, and maybe a dozen sad clown dolls. Screaming business people can be heard berating their bosses. Frustrated lovers curse unfaithful mates.
Wow.
Many patrons splinter chairs and tables, shred expensive-looking drapes, pull paintings from the walls, and stomp on them.
Yeah.
All the while screaming at the top of their lungs.
Man, who wouldn't want to do that once in a while, huh?
Or Ralph, do they not do this at a hotel, or we don't have any contact numbers, so we just have hotels?
Okay. I'm sure they know about it.
All right. So it's not actually hotels that are sanctioning this destruction.
Right.
But the only phone number we have of anybody in Japan is at a hotel, so we'll call and ask them if they know about it.
That's good. That's a good idea. And so this is a special place people go to smash this. The hotels aren't sanctioning this.
And my only frame of reference on Japan, everybody remember this now, is the movie Gung Ho, the Michael Keaton, Ron Howard movie.
Absolutely.
Where all of the Japanese executives get up early in the morning, and the one big executive yells at them for an hour. Boy, and they got to stand there and take it.
That's right. And remember that thing on 60 Minutes we saw where the Japanese executives?
Yeah, their training course.
Oh, man, and they go out and they have to do a lot of the screaming, which sounds very similar to what Don was doing, too.
Boy, dumping!
I'm wearing some kind of diaper or something like that.
Boy, dumping! Boy, dumping! Boy, dumping! Boy, dumping!
Sweet release.
Hello?
Your international call cannot be completed as dialed.
No, we were making too much noise.
The number and dial
Let me try.
I can do it quieter.
Chicago.
With Alton Stevens.
This is the KDD International Telephone Office in Japan.
Hello.
The number you have dialed is not in service.
Too bad.
Please check the number and dial again.
Now that is a friendly lady. Yes, with that little cocktail music in the background. Same kind of music Rob has playing in his house.
Born down. I am a Japanese executive. You can scream at me.
Please abuse me further.
Domo.
Domo arigato.
Mr. Roboto. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, and we are calling you from America. We are the most popular disc jockeys in America. And you are on our great American radio show.
Oh, I see.
How are you?
Very fine, thank you, sir.
What is your name, ma'am?
My name?
Yes.
My name is Naoko. My first name is Naoko.
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 Yes.
All right, Naoko.
Now, have I called the Hilton Hotel?
Yes, this is Tokyo Hilton Hotel.
Tokyo, beautiful.
That's great.
Let me ask you about a story that we're reading in our newspapers here in America, the greatest nation in the free world.
We want to find out if you know about this, Naoko.
We are reading a story about Japanese workers who are very... Hello?
Yes?
The Japanese workers are very stressed out. And in order to deal with the stress, they are spending thousands of yen to destroy fake antiques.
They go into a room and they break things. Are like that? Are you familiar with that, Naoko?
I'm sorry.
Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I just heard of something broken.
Yeah, yeah, they pay money, and they go in, and they break things. And it's a service, and they offer the service in Japan. Have you heard of that?
No, no.
No, no, you have not heard of that.
It's first time.
It is first time.
First time.
Yeah.
It is the first time ever.
Wow.
Hmm. All right. Have you yourself ever been so stressed out that you have wanted to go into a room and break fake antiques?
I'm sorry? Hello? Could you speak a little bit louder, please?
Would you ever pay money to break things in a room?
No.
Would you?
I don't want.
Would you ever drive an American car?
No, I don't have the license, driving license.
Oh, you don't have a driver's license?
A driver's license.
No.
Would you ever watch an American-made television?
American, what? American what
television? See, she doesn't even know, of course. It's a
Motorola, Philco, RCA.
Zenith,
that's American. Although they're probably all made in Japan, really.
Yeah, that's right. How's the weather in Japan?
Well, today?
Yes.
This morning?
Yes.
Well, it's a little bit cloudy, but, almost fine.
Oh, the weather's fine.
Do you have a favorite radio show you listen to?
No. Sorry.
Would you like to say hello to our listeners in Japanese?
In Japanese?
Yes.
Would you? Living in the United States?
Yes. People who are living in this great nation hearing your voice now.
Yes, we're here and all across the country. And you can say hello in Japanese if you'd like
to. In Japanese?
Yes.
Ohayou gozaimasu. It means good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Ohayou gozaimasu.
Ohio.
How about a more personal message than Ohio, which is, incidentally, the name of one of our great states?
Wow.
Say whatever you want, Naoko. Go ahead. Speak a little Japanese for us. We just like to listen.
We like hearing people talk. People of foreign languages who don't speak American.
Naoko, why don't you do us a favor and in Japanese tell everybody that's listening that speaks Japanese how wonderful this radio show is. And it's a wonderful show and everybody should listen to it because it's the greatest show in the United States and you wish you had it in Japan. Could you do that for us? Come on, please.
I don't have any idea, but...
All right, try this. Would you say in Japanese, eat my cheese?
Eat my cheese?
Yes. How do you say that in Japanese?
In Japanese?
Yes.
Cheese means, cheese made from milk.
No. I know where cheese comes from. Just say, translate it.
You don't know where this cheese comes
from. In Japanese, say, eat my cheese. How would you say eat my cheese in Japanese? Listen, if you can't do this, we're going to... You can't do this. What?
Did you say cheese? Eat my cheese?
Yes. Eat my cheese in Japanese.
It's spelled, C-H-E-E.
If you can't get this straight, I'm going to have to ask you again about Japanese businessmen who are breaking fake antiques.
Could you say eat my cheese?
Eat my cheese.
Okay, now say it in Japanese.
Cheese o taberu.
Baberu? Pardon me?
Means cheese. Cheese means cheese. Means cheese.
Having trouble with cheese. Yeah. Do they have cheese?
Do they have cheese in Japan? Well, you know, you never see Japanese people like enjoying a nice grilled cheese sandwich.
No, they eat like noodles and stuff.
No.
Do you have cheese?
Cheese
を食べる. What would a Japanese...
Well, she just said cheese is forbidden.
Forbidden food.
Oh, man. Rob Spivak would die in Japan.
Why is cheese forbidden?
Cheese is forbidden in Japan?
Cheese?
Yes. Did you say that cheese is forbidden in Japan?
Do you know what cheese is?
It is.
It's a dairy product.
Yes, it's made from milk.
Right. It's like bad milk. It's curdled milk.
Milk that's been around a long time.
Now, how do you say, eat my cheese in your native language?
Native language? You mean in Japanese?
Yes.
Wow.
Go ahead. We're waiting.
Cheese
を食べる. Cheese を食べる.
Cheese を食べる.
Cheese を食べる.
Taberu.
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 T-A-B-E-R-U. Taberu.
T-A-B-E-R-U. She's a Taberu.
All right.
Yes.
How would you say this? This is something we learned in Italian last week. How would you say, you have the face,
we learned that in...
How do you say that again? Buzz, did you write that down? I bet you did.
I'm checking.
You?
I think I have it here.
You have the stuff I need.
It was right
that's
up
it,
here.
Right. That's it. Town crier got it.
Do you know how to say that in Japanese?
Hello?
If you wanted to say to someone... You have the face, Sunny.
How would that go in Japanese?
You have the... Well, sorry?
You have the face.
Face.
Sunny. Yeah.
How would you say that in Japanese? We're not saying that to you, of course. We just want to know how you would say that in Japanese.
You see... Somebody told us last week that that is a Sicilian put-down.
And now we want to learn how to say it in every language, including Japanese.
So how do you say... You have the face, Sunny.
In Japanese?
In Japanese, yes.
That's it.
Perfect. Go.
Well,
All right, how do you say you?
Peanuts.
When she's about to say it.
Peanuts?
Peanuts no kao steiru.
Peanuts no...
No kao.
Kao.
O. Shiteiru.
Shiteiru.
Boy, I'm glad this show's taped. We're going to have to go back and study.
Yeah. Hello, sir.
Yes, hello. Hello.
Sorry, we have a call from outside, so just a moment, please.
Hold on. I think that was my sound effect. Were you talking about...
Thank you. One moment, please.
No, that's me.
That's us.
That's me. I'm playing a tape. Hello.
Oh, see? She's gone. Yeah. She's gone like the wind.
But... Oh, we never found out about stressed-out Japanese pain. Oh.
Sorry. Thank you for waiting, sir.
Yes.
Thank you for waiting.
Okay. Hold on. Just so we're straight. This is a sound effect I'm playing. Okay?
Yes.
That's not the sound effect of another call coming in.
Right?
Okay?
Yes.
See?
Doo-doo.
And how do you say in Japanese, it's been very pleasant talking to you?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Well, listen. Thank you for talking to us.
Oh, thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
And you have never paid big bucks to wreck furniture, have you?
No, certainly not.
How do you say goodbye in Japanese?
Sorry?
How do you say goodbye in Japanese?
Sayonara.
We knew that one. Sayonara.
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 Sayonara. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Sayonara.
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 Sayonara. Sayonara.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sayonara.
Sayonara.
Hang up the phone.
Hang up the phone.
Hang up the phone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hang up the phone. Hang up the phone.
Okay.
She's gone. All right, so we never found out about the weird Japanese businessmen breaking furniture.
Yes, but we explored the fantastic world of language.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did I not clearly explain the circle of trust to you, Greg?
Yeah, I think I got it.
Then is there something you want to tell me?
I don't think so.
See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
Well, then tell me the truth.
Jack, I don't know what we're talking about.
All right, now look, Fokker. I'm a patient man. That's what 19 months in a Vietnamese prison camp will do to you. But I will be watching you, studying your every move. And if I find that you are trying to corrupt my firstborn child, I will bring you down, baby. I will bring you down to China.
The Don and Mike Show. Working delightfully non-blue, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Have you heard?
We're going to take calls now. For about 45 minutes or maybe an hour, we're going to play Where Are You?
Yes.
Okay? The most exotic location, the most offbeat, the most avant-garde location.
We'll pick it.
We'll get $100, and we will pick it until it is irritated, until it's infected.
Yes, the scab will be picked.
And we'll eat the scab. Hello, Don and Mike. You ever do that when you were a kid?
Eat a scab?
No. I used to eat my scabs all the time.
That's gross.
Well, yeah, but kids do eat everything.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
And, you know, a scab, you look at it, and it's part
it's
of
crunchy.
You.
It's part of you.
That's right. Just recycle it, man.
That's right. Yeah.
Hello.
It's like biting your fingernails. That's part of you, too.
Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike.
Yeah.
Radio God.
Hi.
Hey, we're calling. Randy from Grand Junction.
Yes, Randy. Hi.
Hey, I didn't catch all... what's the ratings out here?
I don't know. Grand Junction, Colorado? I don't know. They just sent us the preliminary. Thank you.
And they were great. They were very good.
They were very up.
Fantastic. Well, we've been listening for about a year or so, I guess.
Mm.
And, you know, I guess that's about the time you came on, about the 1st September or something like that.
Well, we appreciate it. Are you calling for our contest? Where is your exotic location you're calling from?
I'm not calling. No exotic location. I just heard that you had a rating from Grand Junction.
You're not you're not at the top of a crow's nest out on the Bounding Main?
No, I'm not.
You're not at Boys Town?
Out on an old...
Watching the fabulous donkey show?
Thank you, Randy. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. I think I hear breathing.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. I'm calling. I'm Dorothy from Alexandria.
Yes,
you
hello.
You mentioned Mother Teresa, and her representatives seem to stifle a lot of things. There was a story in last October in Nashville at a coffee house.
Yeah.
Somebody made a bun, and they started to bite into it and noticed that it looked like Mother Teresa. So they went, oh, my goodness, and they started a whole souvenir collection. With coffee mugs, T-shirts, and they made a website. And he had the opportunity to see Mother Teresa morph into a cinnamon bun.
Hello.
Oh, she's back.
Oh,
hello.
She's here.
Hello, Mother Teresa.
Donnie. Rub my feet.
So I tried the website.
Nobody ever pays attention to my feet.
That's her spot.
Kiss my feet.
She likes to have her feet.
Touch my feet.
Caress, yes, Mother Teresa.
Rub my feet. Donnie, put the lotion on my feet. Turn on the channel on the TV. Oh, that's good.
Oh, yes, she loves it. No one ever pays attention to her feet.
And now, paint my toes.
There you go. Oh, she's at the nail salon again, getting her pedicure.
Now, I'm going to go get my bikini wax, and I'll be back to make it. Oh, God. She's just a woman, man.
Sure.
I mean, she's a great woman, and she's done a lot, but listen, underneath it all, she's a woman
who wants
this
her...
This picture of the sticky bun looks like Mother Teresa.
She wants her feet rubbed.
Donnie, eat my bun. eat my nun bun, and then rub my feet.
It's called the Immaculate Confection.
Oh, the Immaculate Confection. Well, send us some.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
I guess that would ha ha, would that be a no?
Because they've been shut down by Mother Teresa's people.
Oh, they have?
Yeah, all right.
My feet have missed you so much. Now, do one more, Tony. Do one more thing for me. This little piggy went to market. And this piggy went wee 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 all the way home.
Nobody pays attention to her feet.
Oh, that is so good. Oh, I love when you rub my feet.
Mother Teresa, everybody.
Just the picture.
Hey, listen.
Picture there.
I can go the opposite way with this, too. Same with the Pope. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Hey, God, that's Cindy Crawford.
Oh, God. Yes, please. Send the letters to...
Yes. Send them to me. Don Geronimo, North Pole.
They'll get there.
They are just people.
People.
Right. People who need people.
Need a foot rub.
Oh, please.
Please.
Rub my feet. My feet have missed you.
Oh, yes. Especially the little piggy.
I'm wearing open-toed shoes.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi.
I work in Sacramento at the place where they make the Titan missiles.
Oh, now are we playing Where Are You? Okay, we're playing Where Are You right now.
Is that a nuclear missile you're talking about?
Yeah, the Titan surface-to-air missiles.
They still making those things? Okay, yeah. Those are the things. What are they? They shoot those off of ships and stuff like that?
I think the aircraft have them. The ships might have them. I don't
know. Listen, even though you're talking in this very low, hush-hush voice, would need some kind of verification that you were actually working with nuclear weapons while you listen to the show.
They're working with them. I'm just at the place where they make them. You know, my company rents a building from them.
I have to be honest with you. You don't sound like you know enough about the product.
I don't really.
You don't. And you work there.
I work at the site where they
make
them.
You work at the site. Well, what do you do? Do you paint like the mailboxes?
No. I do insurance claims. Our insurance company rents a building from them.
You do insurance. Are you near the nuclear reactor now?
I'm near the fuel supply area.
The fuel supply? You mean the nuclear fuel supply? Listen, the only way that we're going to believe you is you're going to have to cause like a nuclear accident or something.
You're a claims adjuster.
Yes.
And your building's next door to where they make the mistake.
Right!
It's on the site.
It doesn't count. Doesn't count!
It's on the site.
No, I'm sorry.
It's not.
We don't like that one. No, I'm sorry.
No, we need someone in the reactor. Someone who's close to the reactor.
Okay.
Yeah, our loss. See you later.
Bye-bye.
So it was Secret Agent Maxwell Smart calling us.
Very scary.
Thank you.
So, where did the accident occur, ma'am?
Okay, line 3. Austin, Texas. Hello, Don and Mike Show. We are playing Where Are You?
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Austin.
Yes, but I mean specifically, sir, where are you?
I'm a veterinarian here in Austin. I'm fixing to palpate a cow.
You're fixing to what a cow?
Palpate a cow.
What do you do when you palpate a cow?
That sounds
nasty.
Well,
you put a rubber glove up to about your mid-bicep.
Oh, no.
Feel the calf to make sure it's headed in the right direction. There's no tubes around his neck or anything like that.
Are you going to do that right now?
Oh, yes.
All right, well, you would definitely be in front of the guy who was at the insurance place.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so you're a vet.
Yes.
And you're checking out the calf to see if the calf's okay in the cow. Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
All right.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's boring. Wait, that sounded like some guy going, Abdo-ho.
Was that the cow making that sound?
Well, sometimes it's not that comfortable to them.
Do it again.
I'm in about elbow deep now.
Oh, how's the calf?
Hadn't reached it yet.
You know, that didn't sound like a cow, though. That sounded like a guy pretending like a cross between a cow and a sheep.
It sounds like little things I used to get on my way up to Maine when you turn over the
bend. I got the head of the cow now.
Yeah, the calf?
Calf, yes. And it is, it's headed in the right direction. The head's up, headed... No, there's no problem. It's not breached. It's not backwards.
Good.
And
how do we know, though, that this guy's really doing this? How do we know this guy's not just putting his hand in a jar of mayonnaise or something?
that cow bleat kind of went moo.
And everything seems fine. I'm pulling it out now.
And then I want to hear the sound of you taking off the rubber glove.
Okay, hold on.
That's the only sound, because we didn't hear any other sounds, thank God.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Hear that?
What was that? I heard a dog?
Was that a dog or was that your lung?
No, it could have been a dog in the back room.
Oh, there's a dog in the back room.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess I'll believe you.
What's your first name? Cletus?
Scott.
Scott. Okay. Scott is in the lead right now. He was... And Buzz, did you look that up? I saw you go into your dictionary. Did you go to look up palpitating?
I looked up palpate.
Yes, palpate.
He used the palpate term correctly. Yeah. And so he was palpating the cow to find out if the calf was coming out the right way.
Yeah.
And that's Scott from Austin, Texas. Pretty good.
All right, man. You can't beat a Texan.
You can't beat it. Scott, hold on. You're in the lead right now, my friend.
Yeah, he's from Texas. I bet it was a big cow.
Hold on. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, is this Sandy?
Yes, it is.
All right, Sandy calling us from Jacksonville, Florida. Sandy, where are you?
I'm in my dryer.
You're inside of your dryer?
Yes, I am.
What are you? Are you a contortionist?
I'm kind of just laying in it. I can't get my whole body in it because it's not that big.
So half of you is in the dryer?
Yeah.
No, not thick enough. Sorry, Sandy.
But
nice try, though.
Yeah, fine.
I can try to get in it.
No, fine effort there, Sandy.
You know, get in and turn it on and then call
it. How could I do that? Because I have to reach around to the top.
I have to think of everything for you.
Sandy needs a friend.
Thank you, Sandy.
Put me in.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We'll be back. We'll continue this at 1-800-636-1067. Where are you? We'll be right back. Are ye?
So far, the leader is the guy that was with the cow.
Well, now we're having lots of calls about the guy, though. Here, for instance, Debbie?
Yeah.
Hello. Here's Debbie, who thinks that guy was lying to us.
He didn't sound on the ball enough to be a vet.
Debbie?
Yeah.
Well, have you met a lot of vets?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was really smart. He'd be working on people.
Oh, God.
Okay?
Vets will tell you they have to go to school longer than regular doctors.
Well, vets are lying to you. You tell me it's tougher to fix a dog than to fix a human?
Depends on how the dog's looking at you, Don.
Hello. Debbie.
Yeah?
Why? Can you speak up, Debbie?
What?
I say, can you speak up?
Yeah, I'm speaking up. I'm on a car phone. I can't hear you very well.
Got it. So why do you think the guy's lying?
Well, he said he referred to it as a cow, and they corrected him for calf. But he also talked about it, that it was headed down the poop. That isn't part of the process any longer.
Really? Well, a lot of people have called, I think.
Yeah, you're right. That isn't a part of the process.
To tell us.
High school biology.
A lot of people have called to tell us the same thing, that apparently what the guy was talking about doing, he couldn't have done. Right?
It's basic biology. If the calf wouldn't be there, this woman's got a point.
All right.
Got a very good point.
Thank you, Debbie.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
So are we disqualifying that guy then?
Well, unless he comes up with some wacky explanation.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, is this Ben?
Yes, it is.
All right, everybody. Here's Ben calling us from Idaho. What station are you listening on, Ben?
KFXD out of Boise. It's about 2-hour drive away.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for listening. Where are you, Ben?
I was just in a straw field stacking straw with my hay stacker. It's a machine that picks up bales, you know.
We're familiar with what a hay stacker.
It was the way you said that that worked, too.
Stacking straw with my hay stacker.
Very Mr. Haney-ish, you know, from Green Acres?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm out here stacking straw with my hay stacker.
But you're not doing it now?
Nope. I'm at the farmer's house that I was just stacking for.
You know, even if he was doing it, I wouldn't necessarily call that one of the best exotic locations.
Not really exotic. Well, maybe it's exotic for Idaho. Hello? Or Iowa, wherever he was from. Hello? In Boise, Idaho.
Idaho.
It's Idaho. Hello?
Idaho.
John and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Matt.
Hi, Matt. You're calling from Sioux City, Iowa.
Yep.
Okay.
AKMA.
And what is your location? Where are you?
Well, right now I'm sitting right by our breeding barn.
You're by the breeding barn. This seems to be the farm report today, doesn't it?
John and Mike Show, the farmer's friend.
Yeah, I just got done breeding about 30 sows, and I heard you call, and I don't have the luxury of a portable phone, so I couldn't
breeding
take you out
pigs.
With me. And I just got done and put them to bed. So I could open up a window. You might be able to hear some screaming. But...
All right, open the window, and maybe we'll hear some pigs screaming.
All right, hold on.
This is Matt in Iowa, who's next to the breeding barn. So he's trying to... awaken them.
Trying to roust them.
They're all done.
I don't know if we're going to get any screaming. It's
that's pretty
late in the day.
They're finished, Matt. They're done, and they're sleeping at all.
Yeah. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Still no clear-cut winner, no clear-cut leader.
Not at all.
On Where Are You? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Speak to us.
Hello?
Shello.
I'm at the welfare office in downtown Sacramento.
Are you getting your check?
No. My friend's here with his kid, and he's trying to get some free money and some free food stamps, but...
Free money? We think he's a radio station giveaway? Hey, man, I got some free money for you right now. Don't forget, FM stamps for free money.
How you doing? I'm here to pick up my stack of cash. For the free money, bunny.
D's on cash. Only if you're on welfare, though. All right, got some Rick D's food stamps coming up at this hour.
And you know, this guy isn't even the guy in the welfare line.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
No, I'm sorry.
It's pretty scary here, though.
Yeah, you're exploiting your friend. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
no.
Boo.
No, boo.
His name's Dan.
Yeah, all right. Tell us more about him. Dan. I think you're his good friend.
I don't know, man. I think I'm going to go down to the welfare office today.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Chris.
Hello, Chris.
I'm calling from a sex play factory.
You're calling from where?
A sex play factory.
A what?
Sex, we make S&M toys.
You make S&M toys.
Oh, okay. Because it kind of sounded like Sex Whip Factory?
I'm sorry. I'm very nervous.
He's very nervous.
All right. You're calling from a factory that makes sex toys.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Really? What kind of sex toys do you make at your factory?
We make paddles and whips and stuff from exotic hardwood.
Sounds like Beavis. Paddles and whips and stuff.
Rob, give me one that says factory loop on
exotic
it.
Hardwood.
Hold on. I knew this would come in handy. We're going to our factory sound effects.
We have a factory sound effects for this guy, Chris. What's the name of the company, Chris?
It's called the Toy Bag.
The what?
The Toy Bag.
The Toy Bag?
The Toy Bag.
Flintstone! Yes, mister. Mr. Slate. They're ready down here, Mr. Slate. And we've got the whips and paddles ready. But I think I'll take a Winston break. Jetson!
Factory sound effect.
Yeah. So you work in the factory?
Yes, I do.
What do you work on an assembly line? What is your job?
I'm a woodworker. We make...
I bet you work with wood.
All right, Geppetto.
What sex toy? You couldn't use a sex toy made out of wood. You get splinters.
Paddles.
Well, we sand them well, and then we put a coat of polyurethane on them.
Do you put any studs in them? Or sharp, like, hooks?
No, we don't.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Chris.
It's a pretty good location. It's just your presentation is lacking.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Rick.
Rick? Oh, from Sacramento, California.
Yeah, I'm listening on Sacramento. I'm actually from Orland, California.
Rick, where are you?
I am in my outhouse.
You have an outhouse?
Yes.
Now, how do we verify that?
Yeah.
Like impossible. Why would you have an outhouse?
I live in an old farmhouse that just came with it.
Yeah, and so you don't have any real plumbing?
No, it doesn't have any plumbing or any hole or anything. It did work at one time, but not since then.
Wait, do you have plumbing inside the house that you live in now?
Yes, we're equipped with plumbing.
Does it have the little half moon on it?
Yeah, it does.
Really? And are you sitting there now?
Actually, I'm standing in the doorway.
Oh, well, see, but that's another one that's tough to verify. I'm sorry, we're gonna have to throw you back, take the hook out of your mouth, and throw you back.
Okay, no problem.
Very tough to verify. All right.
That's right. And I mean, if you're gonna call from any kind of place like that, at least be sitting.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'm calling from a dog food plant in Manassas.
A what?
A dog food plant.
Hmm. A dog food plant.
Dog food.
Flintstone? Yes, Mr. Slate? I'm taking a Winston break, and afterwards I'm going to finish the dog food. This is the special Rudy Marchke mix.
So you're working at a dog food plant?
Yes.
Is it a name brand dog food we would have heard of?
We make Walmart.
You make Walmart dog food?
Yeah.
Hey, wasn't Walmart one of the stores that had that bad meat? That bad hamburger?
I think a lot of stores.
A lot of stores.
Hudson was the name
Hudson
of the company.
Hudson was the name of the company.
We eat a lot of beef in my house. I memorize that name. What type of dog food do you make?
All kinds. Walmart, Giant, basically Old Roy is the name of the brand.
Old Roy?
Old Roy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, of course, Doc. You know Old Roy.
Sure. Doesn't know Old Roy. What is Old Roy?
It's what it is delicious.
All right. Thank you, Daniel.
Yep.
I think I'm going to throw you back, too.
Well, yeah.
There is no clear-cut leader right now.
Old Roy.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Don. I'm calling from Milton, Vermont.
Yes,
I'm
hello.
In my parents' trunk of the car with the only set of keys.
Wait, what did you slow down there, John? What are you doing?
I'm going to get in my parents' trunk of the car with the only pair of keys they have.
Uh-oh. You're going to lock yourself in the trunk of your parents' car. Yes.
How old are you, John?
I'm 21 years old.
21.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of car is it, John?
It's a Cutlass Sierra.
And where's your mom and dad right now?
They're inside in the house. They don't know I'm doing it.
All right, lock yourself in the trunk. Go ahead.
Is there air? Can you get air when you're in the trunk of a car?
With Mike, too many questions.
I threw the keys in.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm climbing in. Might get a little staticky. And here we go. Ready? Hold on. Hello?
Now, I might be willing to say that this guy would be a leader. What we're going to have to do is, during the break, get his phone number.
Okay.
Call his parents.
Call his parents to have them come outside to unlock him. If that all... Bears true, then you'd be the leader.
Well, they can't unlock him, though.
He has the only key.
they will have to crowbar him out from the car.
Then he would be our winner.
Yes, if that actually transpires.
All right, John, hold on and give your information, please, to Jimmy. Okay?
Are you inside with the trunk closed now?
The trunk is closed.
And you're locked in and you have the only keys?
Yep.
All right, hold on.
Fantastic.
All right, we'll go with this guy in a second. I see we have other calls. We'll be back with more of Where Are Ye in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We'll take a call from Bob.
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. How are you this evening?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. I found the show completely by accident. And
okay.
I've been intrigued by the questions and answers, and I thought I'd give you a call.
Okay, what would you like us to answer?
Okay, I've had a condition around my mouth that my doctor diagnosed as something called tootaloo-ass, and I'm not sure how I got that, but it involves chafing, and it gets purple and swelling, I guess around like where the mustache and chin area would be, not necessarily on the lips.
Is it an underlying fungal infection?
I don't know what tootaloo-ass is, actually. Maybe you could tell me more about it.
Well, actually, you know what? I've seen it, and what I think about it is basically, it's not on the corners of the mouth where you have keloids, correct?
No, it's
on the top.
Yeah.
Do you shave there?
I, with the same razor that I shave my taint with. Do you think that has anything to do with it? And I borrowed it from Buzz Burbank, who I know has Farfalotus of the blow.
Okay. But... Okay. Well, that was an interesting call. Blowhole. That was really interesting.
The Don and Mike Show. Now, even moister. The Don and Mike Show.
Say you will love me.
Where are ye? Right now, the runaway leader is the guy who's locked himself in his parents' car.
And he claims he has the only set of keys.
Now, we did find out that there are two phone lines into his house, so he did give himself a way out. He brought a phone with him into the car so he could call his mom and dad
right
on another line in case we did not select him as the winner.
Right.
We're going to see who's on our lines now.
Okay.
If we have somebody better, we'll go with them. And if not, we'll go with the guy who's locked himself in his mom and dad's car.
In the state of Vermont, we might add.
And now here's Mark from Monterey, California. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi there, Mark. Where are ye?
Listen, I can't compete with the guy in the car. I'm in a recompression chamber.
What exactly is a recompression chamber? Is that for diving?
Is that like that William Hurt movie?
Divers who get themselves in trouble.
Is that like if you get the bend?
Yeah.
What do you call it? The bends?
Uh-huh. I always thought it was called a decompression chamber.
Well, you recompress in this thing.
Oh, okay.
Matter of fact, there's a valve right here. It says, do not touch.
Is that like what William Hurt was in that movie?
No.
Where he got in a... Remember he got in a dark chamber
that
full of water?
Sensory deprivation chamber. That's a little different.
Mm.
A recompression chamber is so you don't get the bends.
Yeah.
Right? All right.
Well, cure you from the bends.
Right, not too exciting. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, very dull.
Yeah, blah.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Here's Will in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello, Will.
Hello.
Hey, Will.
Hey.
Hey, where are you?
I'm working a gate at a Kirtland Air Force Base.
You're working the gate in an Air Force Base?
Yes.
Well, we appreciate the listening, but not exotic enough.
I can't
get
the guy in the car, right?
Not thick enough. Yeah, you're not going to be the guy who's locked himself in the trunk
of
the car.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Still looking for that crow's nest out on the high seas.
Thank you, Will.
All right, that's cool.
Thank you,
really
Mike.
Up high.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi there, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Okay, I got you all, I think. I'm teaching my class at Johns Hopkins University. Everybody?
that's a pretty good one. Yeah. What class are you teaching, Teach?
Information Systems Management.
Information Systems Management at Johns Hopkins.
Well, don't let us stop you. Go ahead and put the phone down and start teaching your class.
Yeah, we'd like to listen in on the class if we may.
Oh, I don't know if you'll be able to, but sure.
All right. Set the phone down.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Okay. Can I have your phone, please?
It's a real class. I love it.
That's a pretty good runner-up.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. Are they giving presentations?
That's what they're doing today.
All right. So here's a guy. Listen, we're going to keep you on the line. Here's a guy who's teaching a class at Johns Hopkins right now.
What's your name?
George.
George.
I hope none of those kids' parents are listening. Imagine that money that they know that they're wasting right now. What is it, like $25,000 a year so that the professor can turn our show on in
there? Pretty heavy, heavy-duty institution of higher learning.
Yeah. All right, hold on there, George.
Okay.
That's Professor George And let's try this line. Is this Krista?
Yes, it is.
Krista from Virginia, listening on WJFK, right?
That's right.
Krista, where are ye?
Well, I'm in my living room, but I'm surrounded by exotic pets.
You know what, I'm getting the picture in my mind. Remember in Ace Ventura when,
yes.
When Jim Carrey stood in the middle of the room and they all came to him?
Exactly.
Very much like my household, yes.
All right, what animals, what exotic pets do you have around you?
Well, I'll start at one corner and move around. I have an Argentine horned frog, a white tree frog, an alligator snapping turtle,
wow,
a savannah monitor.
A monitor? Isn't that like a huge lizard?
Well, he's small for his size. He's only about 34 inches.
Wow.
And
only 34 inches.
I have a common snapping turtle,
mm-hmm.
A mata turtle, which are indigenous to the Amazon.
We should point out these are all reptiles.
See, yes.
None of these animals make any noise that we could hear, right?
Not really. I do have two parakeets. I also have a Chinese box turtle, and I have a fish tank and two wing-neck doves.
Wing nut.
Do you have a donkey?
Actually, I have a horse, but she doesn't live in the condo with me.
You have anything that squawks?
Well, let me see if the doves will make any noise.
Right, but don't hurt them to make noise.
Oh, no.
Because I hate it when doves cry. Bow, 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 bow.
It's a cruelty free household.
This is what it sounds like when doves cry.
Come on, sweetie, say something. Come on.
Well, that's Mike doing that. Don't be fooled by that.
I know. You're looking at me like I'm nuts. But that's what he sounds like. He doesn't say anything. The male talks.
Krista, the weird animal. Listen, are you naked?
No, but I considered that, but that's a little beneath me.
We'll take one more call.
Have you ever heard my cricket before?
Oh, it's beautiful, Mike.
I do a cricket under a piece of paper and a cricket outside the piece of paper.
All right.
Here's the cricket under the piece of paper.
My God.
Now, you say you're going to lift the piece of paper
okay,
up.
I'm going to lift the paper up now. It's too bad Ed Sullivan's not alive. You'd be the opening act on Sunday night, Mike.
Now you know, right after the Maori fire eater.
Hello, Jessica.
Hi.
Hi, where are you calling from, Jess?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Ah, on WTLK. And where are ye?
Well, I'm just about to get into the shower.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Mother Teresa?
No. How about Shannon Doherty?
A little Shannon Doherty.
Okay.
The early years.
I think Mother Teresa kind of looks like Shannon Doherty.
I think there's a similarity there.
She has beautiful feet.
She loves to have people pay attention to her feet.
Kiss my feet.
Can you hear the water?
Hell yeah.
Oh, God.
What?
Cold.
I just stepped in.
Oh, yes, it's
cold.
Chilly.
And it's cold.
It's cold.
Oh, it's cold. Oh, what kind of soap products? What are you going to be lathering yourself up with?
soft soap, gentle antibacterial body wash.
Uh-huh. All and right. Who's the celebrity that you think you most resemble, Jessica?
I already answered that. Shannon Doherty.
Oh, right. Mother Teresa, right.
You're completely distracted by the shower. So you're going to be lathering up with antibacterial soap.
Yes.
Do you have any shampoo?
Yes.
What kind of shampoo do you have?
Flex.
Do you have one of those waterproof phones?
No. It's not an electrical phone. It's not a cordless.
Well, I'm going to give her a prize even if she doesn't win. Hold on, Jessica.
Okay.
Hold on a second. So now we have three leaders in this contest right now.
Yep.
Oh, and listen. Hold on. Hey, Jessica. Hey, Jessica?
Yes?
I just want to say, gee, your hair smells terrific. Hold on a second. Now we have Jessica. She would be in third place, I guess, because she's taking a shower.
She's taking a shower and washing her hair.
Mm-hmm. And then we have George, the professor. He would be in second place because he's teaching a class right now.
At Johns Hopkins.
And our first leader,
John in Vermont,
is John, who says he has locked himself in his parents' car. Now we will do a quick commercial break.
Right.
Come back. We will call this guy John's parents and send them out to the car. If, in fact, he is still in the trunk, and at that point he would have been in the trunk for about a half an hour,
right?
He's going to be our big wiener.
Hear, hear.
But if for any reason he can't fulfill his obligation, then it would either be George the professor or Jessica in the shower.
Yeah, and I guarantee you that George the professor isn't going to do any hair washing in front of his class.
Have I mentioned what a great job this is? This is a fantastic way to put food on my family's table. We will be back. We gotta call John now.
All right.
Let me see if I have this straight. John is the guy who's in the mom and dad's trunk.
Right.
John, hold on, wait. Wait, Broyhill, will you come here and explain this to me? Is the dad named John also? See, the mother is named Laura. The
mother is named John.
Wow.
The mother and father and the son are
who
named
is
John.
Who is who? As we try to call for where are you?
James is his brother.
Okay.
There's a John Sr. and Laura the mother.
Okay, gotcha.
Very good. We're going to call John's family now to tell them that John is in the trunk of their car out in the driveway. Uh-huh.
This reminder that we will be at Gecko's end of summer edition. We're going to have three big cash winners.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Wow. Okay. First prize is five bills. $500. Second price, $200.
Mm-hmm.
Third place, $100.
Wow. So, if you would like to win serious money, come down here, play strip trivia.
We'll start trolling tomorrow. Hold on, I need to know which number to... Charles, super producer? Hey, Charlie?
Here he comes again.
Charlie Broyhill?
Here he comes.
Which number is the one I'm supposed to call? It's like a this thing looks like B. Arthur's legs with varicose veins.
Wow, look
there
at that.
There are four numbers on there.
And
there
are four long-distance
like
numbers.
There's lines and arrows and junk.
And there are different area codes all over there.
Okay, which one is the one that I want to call?
John.
Which one? Which one?
John.
Point it out.
4012.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
All right, that's all right. The number of dad. That's Senior John Senior.
Junior.
We're calling the guy in the trunk, I guess.
We're calling the dad.
Yeah, not at this number.
Number up.
Well, that's what we want to.
Come on.
For the love of God! Oh, and Buzz will have some news on Chris Farley in our next Buzzcast, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
My wife told me she just saw a hideous picture of him in Us magazine.
I'm not really
surprised. She says, really gross.
He's been putting on weight again.
He's been putting on more weight?
Yeah. We're sorry. Your call did not go through.
All right, we're trying desperately now to get John out of the trunk of his car to tell him that he's the big winner on the Don and Mike Show.
For where are ye? Are you calling John Sr. now?
And it was as simple as a guy...
Hello.
Getting in. Hello.
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 Is this John?
No, this is James.
James, is that the brother? Hey,
brother.
James. Hi, listen, this is Don and Mike, and we're doing a radio show right now.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, listen, are your mom and dad around?
They sure are.
Would you put your mom on the phone?
Yeah, hold on.
Thank you.
All right, and is his mom's name Johnny, too?
His mom's name is Laura.
Laura, okay. Johnny, Laura.
Hey, hello, Laura? Hello.
Anybody? I guess he put the phone down and he's walking in the 12,000-square-foot home to get mom.
Mom? Hey, Laura? Oh, here, I'm getting her now. Hey, hello, Laura?
Yeah.
Hi, listen, this is Don and Mike. We're a couple of disc jockeys.
Oh, I know you guys. We're from Virginia.
Oh, you know us. Well, hi. Listen, your son, John?
Yeah, he's yelling at me from the trunk of my car.
Okay, so you know he's in there, right?
Well, yeah, I know he's in there. I can hear him.
Do you have a portable phone that you could bring out to the car with you?
Sure. Would you like me to walk out there now?
We'd like to verify he's in the trunk. Now, listen, he also told us, Laura, that he's in the trunk of the car, and he has the only set of keys to open.
As a matter of fact, the little guy took both my trunk keys in with him.
In with him. So there's absolutely no way outside of maybe a crowbar to get him out of there.
No.
All right, well, go out to the car. Will you go out to the car?
We'd love to hear him through the trunk of the car.
I'm sure you will.
Yes, please take the phone out there.
Okay. John.
What?
They want to hear you.
Hello?
Are you in the garage now? Is that where you are?
No, we're outside in our little parking area here.
Now,
how are you going to get him out of the trunk, Laura?
I don't know. What are you planning on doing?
Is James there? How old is James, Laura?
He's 23.
He's older. Good. I'm glad you have the older brother.
Now, are you concerned that your son is locked in the trunk of a car and the keys are inside?
No. If you knew John, you wouldn't be concerned.
You'd be glad.
Well, you know, you got to believe a mom.
Oh, absolutely.
I got to think this guy's on the up and up. Hey, listen, knock on the trunk and tell him he's won $100.
Oh, okay.
No, tell him now.
His father's freaking. I want you to know that.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
John Sr.'s freaking out a little bit?
He's freaking.
John!
He's freaking. Got his freak on.
Talking with the kids.
We should speak to Dad.
Hey.
Oh! He said no S.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Yeah, you can hardly hear it.
Who's that?
I'm really glad he's locked in there.
How are you going to get him out?
How do we get them out?
Yeah.
I'll just give this one to James.
Are you going to give this? You can let James
don't
be home.
Don't worry about it.
That's the way to handle it as a parent, isn't it? They'll be home for dinner.
All right, we got a winner. Listen, you know what I'd like? I'd like a follow-up tomorrow to find out what happened, how you got him out of the trunk.
Yeah. Ask him if he's feeling lightheaded.
The father is checking out the back seat now, trying to see if he can pull
it. Oh, yeah, you can probably pull the back seat out and get
probably,
him out.
Is it an older model car?
No, dear, it's not. It's only a year old.
It's a year old.
What,
okay.
What a mom she is, dear. No dear.
So it has the flip-down back seat, then.
Oh, good.
I guess.
All right, well, maybe they'll be able to get him out.
Oh, I hope so.
Now, who's that we hear talking? Is that Dad talking?
Yeah, that's Dad saying, are you crazy?
Well, listen, your son John has won $100.
Well, that's great.
Because he called us from the most exotic avant-garde location, which was the trunk of your car with the lock.
Well, just pound on that trunk and say congratulations for us, okay?
Sure, I'll pound on that trunk. Hey, guys. Hey, John. So they're talking, trying to figure out how to get out now.
All right.
We can hear the band.
Hold the line. Hold the line, Laura. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you. As a proud mother.
That's great. She says, maybe it's after happy hour.
Here's John. Here's John in the trunk of the car.
My parents are flipped out. I'm done. Done.
How you feeling? You feeling lightheaded in there, Johnny?
No, man.
Oh, my dear. Oh, my.
He's John. Not just loving it, Mike. He's effing loving it.
Absolutely.
He's really enjoying it.
Oh, wow. Hey, well, the family that cusses together stays together.
He's very excited about his money.
All right, so John's the winner. And let's see, George, the professor.
Yes, he...
We'll give him a prize, too.
Yeah. He's runner-up.
We'll give him a copy of that awful Julia Roberts movie. And same for the lady in the shower with
Jessica.
The cold water.
Yes, Jessica was who was washing her hair.
They will get the VHS copy of Everyone Says I Love You. We only have like 2,000 copies of this movie, courtesy of Miramax Home Entertainment.
All right.
So everybody gets that. And our big wiener is John in the trunk of Mom and Dad's car.
Mom's not fazed, but Dad's freaking.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show. Pray for death. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, man.
Hey, dude.
Hey, man, of course.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, everybody.
What's going on?
It's my redneck brother, Jim.
Oh, man.
Why?
Oh, have I got the story for you.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, really?
Yeah, I need to talk to you just for a second off the air, though.
Oh, dear.
Oh, really?
Oh, my.
Oh, my. All right, hold on a second.
Oh, dear. All right, well, Buzz, I guess we're going to have to pad for a second here.
We can
and,
do that.
Maybe I could try again to get you to work
Hello?
Up some of your dander
hey.
About
oh.
Brett in the parking
yeah.
space. But
now that I know it's her, I really am pissed, and I really yeah. am. While we've been sitting here, I've been plotting ugly ways
Why,
to get
happened?
Even with Brett.
Glad we could clear that up. But I'll tell you right now,
right.
when Jim asked to speak to his brother
mm-hmm.
in private off the air,
yeah.
you know that there is something seriously, seriously wrong.
It can't be good. This is
so,
what I'm thinking.
But there's got to be some of it that's going to be, you know, on the air. And I know we can look forward to hearing some part of this.
Just a taste.
On the air, but just a little taste.
Right.
So what's going on?
All right, I need the soap opera music.
Oh, really? Is this another relationship?
No, it's about my parents and him.
Oh.
I need the soap opera music.
They did something again?
Yeah. Yeah, they sure did.
They did something bad again?
They sure did.
Oh, dear.
You know, my brother wants to know if it's cool to talk about it on the radio. And, you know, for goodness sakes, with all the crap that we've discussed about our family on the air.
Sure.
You know, what is one more log on the fire?
Why not?
All right,
oh,
Jimmy.
Man.
Okay, where are you at right now?
Barkeysville, Pennsylvania.
Right, so you're driving a load of something somewhere, right?
Yeah, I'm overloaded big time, too.
Hey, you're overloaded. Well, that's good for any of the state troopers that might be listening.
Well, I gotta be going around a few scales, too.
Really? All right, well, we'll deal with that in just a moment. Now, here's the latest. Now, this involves your girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
The girlfriend that my mom and dad didn't want my brother to see. And keep in mind, my brother's 38 years old.
Now, is there some particular reason why they don't want you seeing this woman, Jimmy?
Just that they can't control me anymore. They can't tell me when to do anything or how to do it or anything. They can't control me.
And they're
That's
upset
the whole
about
point
that.
Of it completely, totally, 100%.
So you remember that my parents, in the last episode of My Dysfunctional Family, my parents had actually hired a private investigator.
Oh, man. I found out Saturday that not only did they hire a private detective to drive by my house, the private detective followed Jamie. Plus, they gave Sam and Fran a complete report, a lifelong history report on Jamie.
Let me bring you up to speed. Jamie is my brother's current girlfriend, and Sam and Fran would be our parents.
I have a valid question here, and this is for people that might not be familiar with this. You said they can't control you, but you're a guy that's been married, you have a kid, you've been in many relationships, and have they, I mean, have they ever pulled anything like this with any of the other relationships?
No, the only thing they've done before is just tell me that they don't think my girlfriend or my wife was worth anything. They thought that, you know, they weren't good. They didn't like them. They've never liked anybody that I have been with.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I just want to say, this is the Monday episode of the show, okay?
That's, you know, right there.
It's only Monday, and already we're getting it.
Right there. I mean, no surprise for anybody who listens to the show. That's just not right. You know what I mean?
Right, no.
You kind of have to accept whoever your kid brings in. I mean, that's just the way it is. You
and
get support them, and that's the way it is.
When your kid is 38 years old.
Absolutely.
And you've already got a bad relationship with both of your kids.
Of course.
Right. All right, so what's the latest installment?
Well, we saw Sam and Fran Saturday morning.
And how did that happen?
Well, we saw Francis.
That's my mother.
And they have had a friend of theirs drive by Jamie's house now, okay, Saturday morning. So Jamie said, stop the car, I want to talk to your mom. So I stopped the car and I said, Jamie, just be cool.
Now, wait a minute, hold on. When you said they had a friend drive by the house, was mom in the car?
No, this was Bob's wife, Dawn. They're good friends now.
So your friend Bob is good friends with our mom and dad.
Yeah, I've lost that relationship, that friendship, after 18 years.
Oh, my God.
Because of all this.
So this is a contemporary of yours who has kind of been reporting to your parents about your life?
Exactly.
How twisted is that?
Does this have anything to do with the thing that you were telling me last week? We talked last week off the radio. Occasionally we do talk off the radio.
Right.
The thing with Bob, the problem with Bob last week.
Yeah.
My brother was all upset. He called me last week. And this guy, Bob, has been my brother's friend since they, you know, were just out of high school. And he said, listen, I'm not friends with Bob anymore. You know, I said, what? Bob's your best friend. And it turns out there was a whole big situation with Bob. Was that related to Sam and Fran, too?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And, my parents are a mess.
Anyway. Jamie got out of the car, and Francis was standing there, and Jamie said, Mrs. Source, I'd just like to tell you not to have your friends drive by my house.
Now, wait, hold on. Where was Mom in this? Because you said that this other person was driving past your girlfriend's house. Where did Mom appear?
We saw her downtown South Beloit.
So this is after a friend drove by the house to check up on you.
Yes.
And then your girlfriend bumped into your mother downtown.
Yes, and I was with my girlfriend.
And you were, okay, so you're with her.
I was sitting in the car. And Jamie got out and told Francis, hey, I'd appreciate if you would keep your friends away from my house and have your friends stop driving by my house.
Right.
And Francis says, oh, well, your mother hooked up the phone at Jim's house in her name. That's fraud. Ameritech is going to prosecute you and all this. And Jamie says, my mom did it for a gift for me. And Francis started saying, we did a whole investigation on you. Jim, you should see what's in this investigation. And the only thing Jamie has ever done in her whole life,
oh my God,
has gotten a speeding ticket and didn't pay for it.
That's it.
So Jamie tells Francis, you're just an old, lonely woman. Leave us alone.
Oh, my God.
Francis hauls off and hits her right in the face.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Was this on the street?
Yeah. So I told Jamie, get in the car. I said, Jamie, get in the car. We're going down to the police department right now. I said, Francis, you're busted.
Oh, my God.
You just committed battery on Jamie.
Oh, no. So did you file charges against mother?
We went down and talked to this Sergeant Lee. Jamie didn't want to file charges. We could have had Frances arrested for battery. She would have had to be shipped down to Winnebago County Jail, pay a bond, and get a court date.
Oh, my God.
Jamie says, I don't want that because she's just going to bring more crap down on you. Well, I said, you do what you want. I said, we can have her, this old bag, arrested,
Or the cop says, well, I can go over and talk to her. Well, the police officer went to talk to Francis, and Bob was there.
This is my brother's estranged friend,
okay,
Bob.
Right.
Bob tells the police officer, well, Jamie's driving on a stolen registration, a stolen sticker, and stolen license plate. And Francis says, oh, I'm not doing anything to them. They came and saw me. And the officer said, well, Mrs. Source, just leave them alone, and they will leave you alone. Well, then I called LaVita.
This is my Aunt LaVita. My mother's sister, Aunt LaVita.
Right.
LaVita is neutral. Remember we had our doubt last week about that?
Yes.
LaVita is neutral.
All right.
She didn't believe it that Francis is like this and all whacked out. Okay? And I talked to LaVita Saturday afternoon for 2 hours over the phone.
Let me interrupt you for a moment. I follow this because this is my family.
You got to start feeling pretty good about the fact that you live all these miles away.
Is this understandable to anybody listening to the radio? I mean, I guess if you listen over the year, you know who all the players and the sort
right,
of mess
sure,
are.
Right, sure. Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's funny, man. I mean, this is just whacked out. I'm moving out to Seattle, Washington when I can.
Oh, no, wait. Don't tell me not to go. That's a good move. I thought you wanted to be by your daughter.
I do, but do I have to live in fear that Sam and Fran are going to try and make my life miserable any time they get a chance, and then I have to sit back and defend myself or prove myself innocent?
Oh, my God.
That's what it's coming down to, okay? So Bob lied about Jamie's registration. So we spent Saturday afternoon going to the police department in Beloit. The police department, the cop called to let us know what Francis said. He says, oh, yeah, by the way, they said you're driving on stolen plates. I have South Beloit police officers looking for your car because now you are under suspicion. So we spent Saturday afternoon running around from police department to police department to have them run a check on her plates to prove that she's all legal.
Did he get that done? Was that finally worked out? We got that done. Good.
But then now, Francis, I left yesterday at noon to come out to New York State, and Francis and Sam are driving by the house.
Oh, my God. Again?
LaVita didn't believe me on this, and I told LaVita, I says, hey, I got a tape recording that I recorded Francis a month ago, and how whacked out she was, calling Jamie a whore, calling Jamie every name in the book, and LaVita doesn't believe it, and I says, as soon as I find this tape, I will be over to your house. And she believes me now. She's starting to see how Francis and Sam are. See, they always want to portray to everybody that they're innocent, they are perfect, they do everything they can for their son.
My parents, are you by my adopted parents here?
Mm-hmm.
They are certifiably out of their friggin' minds. I mean, they're absolutely...
Once they pushed you away, they moved on to your brother and started working on him.
Right, because I reached the point with my parents, my mom and dad got mad at me. This all goes back to the fact that my brother and I are adopted, and things were fine with our parents. I mean, we had a screwy home life like everybody does, but it was all right.
Right.
We found out we were adopted, and the second we asked our parents about it, they started getting squirrely with us.
Sure.
And then my mom and dad sent me a box one day that had, like, all of my baby pictures and my high school football letter and all the stuff from when I was a kid. They just sent it all to me and said, goodbye, you're not our son anymore.
Well, they'll probably do that to me. You know the thing about uncle/half-brother Tom?
And that, of course, is the other great part of the story, that my uncle is actually my half-brother.
Right.
I told LaVita Saturday, too. I says, hey, you know, she still denies that to this day. She goes, well, I didn't know that was a secret in the family. I says, what do you mean, Aunt LaVita? That was top secret. I said, Tom told me, Francette told me, Sam told me. And Francis still denies it. She goes, oh, yeah, Tom is your mother's real son.
You see, my mother... Okay, my brother and I are adopted.
She's whacked, man.
My mother gave birth to Tom.
Right.
My mother then, this is before my brother and I were even born. My mother gave birth to Tom. She gave that baby to her mother to raise.
Right.
When he was 12 years old.
And it's like a big secret in the family that apparently everybody in the whole family knew, except for my brother and I, that the guy that we had been brought up with as Uncle Tom was actually Brother Tom.
But was it her son with Sam?
No, it was her son with another guy.
Another guy.
She was married before.
Oh.
Right.
And he got killed in a typhoon in World War II.
Of course.
Off the coast of
band.
I'm telling you, I swear to God, you can't write this crap.
Pretty amazing stuff.
And you know, this is why, when I talked about this 5 years ago, why the Jenny Jones Show and the Lisa Gibbons Show called me up and asked me if I could get my whole family to come on their shows. And I said, absolutely not.
This, oh, God.
This is my
better
personal
than General Hospital.
This is my personal hell.
But,
so,
you know, it's just whacked. And now they're trying to do everything they can.
I don't know why they just
vandalized my life, my job, Jamie's job.
Jim, this is Buzz. Rather than move, can you get a restraining order?
That Jamie went to check on it today.
Good.
$122 to get a restraining order on Sam and Fran.
Right.
And then it's another $122 to get a restraining order on Bob and Dawn.
Oh, don't worry. I'll pay that for you.
The saddest thing, you know, out of all this...
pay that for me.
I'll pay that for you. Me, your brother.
Oh, man, I'd appreciate it.
You know, the saddest thing out of all this sounds to me, Jim, like your lifelong friend who kind of buys into what they're saying. And
he was my hunting buddy. Well, I told my brother what the story was with that. And now he's mad because I confronted Jamie about these lies, and I found out that his wife was lying about it. He told me all this stuff and didn't want me to talk to Jamie about it.
There's so much crap to this story. There's so many people lying to other people. And I guess it's all intertwined to Sam and Fran.
Yeah. Man, we take 5 hours to explain it to everybody.
No, we couldn't do it in 5 hours, not to explain everything. I swear to God we couldn't.
You know, but, man, I mean, this has got me so upset. It's the first thing I've ate in 2 days here.
Oh, boy. That, you know, that's... you know, I feel the same way I felt when Dom was going through all the crap initially. I mean, it's just horrible. It's really horrible.
Listen, I had it bad, but my mom never slapped my girlfriend or my wife.
You had the distance on your side. You had the distance factor.
Jesus Christ. What a mess that is.
I was afraid that Jamie was going to throw her in a headlock and do a body slam to her. You know?
You know, I would pay to see that whole situation unfold. I really would pay to see that. Where was that?
When I told Francis, I told Jamie, I said, get in the car, Jamie. We're going down to the police department. Francis, all that skin hanging off of her arms and stuff was just shaking like a bowl of jelly. She was scared to death.
Okay. All right. Well, listen.
But it was...
Listen, call me tonight. I'll get you the money for the restraining order.
Yeah, I needed to ask you another favor.
All right. Go ahead.
I don't know if you want me to say this over there.
Come on, why not?
Hold on a second.
We were right, it wasn't good.
Unreal. All right, what else?
Hey, it makes you appreciate everything you got. It really does.
It does. Yeah.
That's a shame. They did this to, you remember when they did this to Don?
I do. They sent
years ago, and now they're doing it
the
to Jimmy.
Hold on a second.
Sent all his baby stuff back in boxes.
Yeah. Oh, of course I can handle that for you. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hello? Yeah. No problem.
Because, man, this has got to end.
Yeah. He wants to know if one of my battery of attorneys will send a letter on his behalf from him to my parents saying to leave him alone.
You know the attorney to call for that.
To never contact me or my daughter. I've already told my daughter that she's not going to see him anymore. And Rachel says, why?
Because
they've moved to Europe.
Oh, my God. That's what I had to do with my parents. I had to finally get a lawyer.
You know, and I hold a friend that they have in Washington that sends them all this stuff and calls them and tells them all the scoop on us. I hope she's listening.
I had to finally hire a lawyer to send my parents a letter saying, if you contact him again, we will take swift legal action against you.
Amazing.
But once I did that, they left me alone.
Good.
They stopped trying to butt in. All right, Jimmy. Well, I'll help you on all those fronts.
Well, you want me to call you tonight?
Yeah, call me tonight.
What time?
You don't want to get home. Just call me anytime tonight. Okay?
All right, dude.
All right. Well, hang in there, man.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Hang in there. I love you.
I love you, too.
All right.
Hang in there, Jim. Good luck with all this. It's an awful lot to deal with.
Don't speed.
But I know I speak on behalf of all of our listeners when I say it's highly entertaining. And, you know, thank you for sharing it with us.
You know, I don't know. Thanks for letting me get it off my chest.
That's all right. No better place than a radio show with 5 million people listening.
The therapy, isn't it your favorite therapy?
Yes, it is.
Right here?
There's no doubt about it.
This is my therapy, too.
All right, call me tonight.
Okay.
All right, bye, dude.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow.
All right, well.
The difference between Jimmy and you is you worked in the radio business for years, and I think you could handle this. You knew what pathological liars were all about. But Jimmy, I don't know, man. That's tough.
Yeah.
That is tough.
How screwed up is that?
That is amazing.
I'm so embarrassed of my family. I'm so embarrassed by all of that going on.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, Christ.
I think you're both handling it the right way. I've always said that.
You've risen above it.
How How wacky is that? My parents are so out of their minds.
That is really, that is tough. That is a tough situation.
You know, just leave us the hell alone.
Yeah, I mean, you handled it the right way. They left you alone, and now he's just got to, you know, make the break, right?
Right. And, you know, none of this would have happened with my parents if when we had gone and originally asked them if we were adopted, if they would have just said, yes, you're adopted.
Right.
Here's the circumstance. Mm-hmm. I mean, we never went to our parents and said, oh, you're not our real parents. We want to find out all about us. We didn't know that.
Right.
We just wanted to know what happened. And my parents refused to give it up. At one point, I was screaming at my mother. I said, don't you watch Oprah? Like, on Oprah, they have shows now that instruct stupid people how to handle situations like this. And my parents said, well, you know why we never told you you were adopted? I said, why? She said, you never asked.
Oh, God.
That was the big response. You never asked.
Hmm.
Okay. Thank you. But anyway.
Yeah.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday.
Yeah. Happy Monday.
I think that did Jimmy a little good, getting on the radio and talking about it.
No, I
think one of the reasons he did want whoever that person is that's, you know, that's the spy here in Washington, D.C., wanted him to hear it.
Okay, that's effed up, man.
That is effed up.
That's just real effed
up. Amazing.
There is.
All right, let's check our phone lines to see if our new phone number works, okay?
What is that phone number? I forgot.
It's 1-877-365-3636. Let's try a call. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, you're the greatest.
Ah, the phone lines work, Mike.
1-877-365-3636.
Right, let's just stay away from that stupid DMDM.
DMDM.
365-3636. 1-877. Yes, hello, who is this?
This is Eric from Sacramento.
Yeah, hi, Eric.
Don and Mike, you're the greatest. I was at the Sacramento Las Vegas style show. Just wanted to encourage Jimmy to stay in the area because, as it turns out, it's his daughter that's set up to be hurt the worst on this if he moves to Washington to get away from your silly parents.
Yeah, I know. I'll have that discussion with him. Appreciate it.
It'd be great if you could pay for that restraining order.
Oh, I'll do it. That's done. Not a problem. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys.
Hello there.
How are you today?
You know, I have nothing on the screen, so I don't know who you are or where you're calling from.
Amy from Detroit.
Yes, hello, Amy.
I just want to tell you guys, I was in a very similar situation. The guy I was dating was a single child, and or only child, and his mom went to the extent she followed me around, followed me from work and to work. She was psycho. She was so worried that I was cheating on her poor little boy or something that she would just, like, have no life to follow me around.
All
and
right.
I totally sympathize with Jim, and do whatever you got to do, Jim, because I had to leave the situation. It was totally, totally unconducive for me to stay.
Wow. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Amy.
All right.
You know, what's the line? I think it's out of the movie Parenthood. You need a driver's you need a license to drive a car, but you don't need anything to be a parent.
No kidding. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don. I just have a question about your family.
Sure.
Are you in any way biologically related to your parents?
No.
Or not?
No.
Then, okay, because you were saying your uncle is really your half-brother.
Yeah, you know, he's
adopted half-brother.
Yes.
Oh.
In as much as that's the only family that I know. You understand it was just one lie on top of another.
Because he's your mother's biological son, he would be your adopted half-brother. That's exactly what
correct.
It would be.
Correct. And maybe I didn't make this clear either. After all the stuff with us being adopted came to the front, we were talking about, my brother and I were talking about this with Uncle Jack, who's now dead, my mom's other brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to us, well, that's not the biggest lie in this family, that you guys are adopted. Don't you know about Tom? And we said, no, we don't know about that. And then we went back to our parents with that. We said, well, no, wait a minute, hold up. Not only are we adopted and you didn't tell us,
right?
But this guy who's our uncle, he was really your son. And we went to my mom and we said, why didn't you tell us the circumstances, how you ended up giving him to your mother?
When he was 12.
To raise.
Right. Which is also
odd.
An odd
weird
number.
And then we found out that's the first of many times that my mother just shut the door in our face and told us to get out of the house.
Hmm. Yeah.
We found out that everybody in the whole family knew that story except my brother and I.
Right.
That it was a big conspiracy
in
the
family. Did you ever find out why when Tom was 12 years old that he was turned over? Why?
No.
Why, like when she was 6 years before the finish line,
I don't know.
She decided to pull the...
I don't know. No, we don't. Listen, I've tried to find these answers.
Right.
And no one will tell me the answers.
And from what you've told us, your parents didn't have anything to be ashamed of, and yet they seem ashamed or embarrassed about the whole adoption and Uncle Tom thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What would that, you know, it's so weird.
I know. It's wacky, man. I mean, I swear to God, it's not nutty. Someday there's going to be a Lifetime movie of the week made about this family.
Good.
And people will think it is fiction. They will not believe it.
Who would you cast as your mom, as your adopted mother? As your adopted estranged mother.
Okay. I have the opportunity here to be very cruel.
I understand that, but I would refrain from the cruelty, and I would go for accuracy.
I would say a puffier Betty White.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
A puffier, more Italian-looking Betty White.
Okay.
that would be it.
Very good.
And for my dad?
Yeah.
Who's that dude? Is it Martin
Landau?
Yes.
Martin Landau?
I would go with him as the father.
Oh, boy. Great cast.
And, of course, playing me, you'd have John Gotti. And playing my brother, you would need a shovel, but you would have to dig up Kurt Cobain.
Kurt Cobain. Very
those
good.
Are our celebrity lookalikes.
Excellent. Wow.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
You know who I'd cast as your brother? You give him a little facial hair? Jeff Daniels.
Oh, that's an insult to Jeff Daniels, Mike.
I know. I'm trying. Hey, you always try to improve it with the movie players,
sure.
You know?
No, I say keep it real. Let's keep it real.
Gotta be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yep. I wish we were really big, like Dylan and the Stones.
What do you mean big? We're as big as anyone. We have a hit show on CBS. Why can't you see that?
The Don and Mike Show. World-class dancers, Don and Mike.
You know, I have a bit of that.
Right, exactly.
Sure.
You know why?
You know I have a bit of that.
You know why?
You know I have a bit of that.
You know why?
I'm the manager.
You know I have a bit of that.
You know why?
You know I have a bit of that.
It's fun when we transcribe it, isn't it? You know I.
You know I have a bit of that.
You know I
That's right.
You know I
It's you know I
I think let's hear it again.
You know I
You know I
You know I
little bit of better.
You know I
You know I
try it, Buzz. Let me hear you do it one time.
You know I
You know I
You think it's you don't hear the buh? It's
There's a buh in there. Let me try it again.
Okay.
You know I have a bit of that.
You know I
You know I have a bit of that.
Well, Mike, this is your alley.
Yeah,
try it.
I'm actually.
Are you writing it out?
Yeah.
Phonetically?
Yeah. You know I have a bit of.
You know I have a bit of that.
You know I have a bit of.
You know I have a bit of that.
You think it's you know I
It might not be a It might be a bit of.
You know I have a bit of that.
You know, it might be a
You know, I
You know, I
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
You know, I
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 That's what I've got it, Don. I've got, you know, I, V-E-B-E-D-U-H-B-U-H. You know, I,
Let me listen to it again.
You know, I,
Sounds to me like, you know, I, B-U-H-B-U-H-B-U-H. You know, I, V-U-B-U-H-B-U-H-B-U-H.
I think it's three,
You know, I,
You know why V-I.
It's a V, it's a V-E,
right.
B-E-D-U-H-B-U-H.
V-I. I think it's V-I. You know why?
A bit of a, well, V-I, you know.
You know why a bit of
it depends on what region of the country
you're
from.
You know what it is? What he's saying is,
it's just like the names we were getting.
He's saying, you know I've. Right. He's saying the letters. He's saying, you know, I apostrophe V-E.
Right. Okay.
And then B-B-B.
Oh, so it, so you could change it to, you know, I vib bit of b.
Listen.
You know, I vib bit of b.
Oh, boy. There is a D. There is a D in there. Mike's hearing
D?
There is, Mike's hearing a D in there, too, and I hear it, too. You know, I bit a bit of b.
Bit a bit of b.
Bit a bit of b.
Mm-hmm. Like, hold on.
You know, I'm a bit of a...
You know, I love this show. You know, I really love coming to work every day. This is, I swear to God, the most fun you can have. And now we have people calling in.
Right.
And they want to try to translate what our general manager said to us the other day. Here is Crystal calling us from Wichita.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, what is he saying?
He's saying, you know, I really, really believe it. And he's drunk.
Oh, let me hear this.
You know, I really believe it.
No, I don't think he's saying,
you know, I really believe it.
No, this I believe. Let me just tell you, this was a cranial cramp that Ken ran out of real words. We're just trying to get the sound right.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you were actually trying to figure out what he was saying.
No, well, we are, but did you hear the conversation a couple of days ago with him?
I listen to you every day. But okay. I'm a new listener. I've only discovered you about a week ago. I love you guys.
So I think it's, you know, I've been a bit of a...
You know, was he a caller? Did he?
I agree with Don.
No, it's our general manager.
I think there's an I've in there. I think there might be a very quick other VE sound. I think he might say,
no, it's
you know, I've a bit of a.
I might go with you on that. It might be, you know, I've.
You know, I've, and then you put
a.
Okay, so what you put is you put a, you know, I've a bit of a. That might be.
You know, I've a bit of a.
That's it.
Right.
You know, I've the bit of buh.
This is how they crack codes at the FBI, you know.
You know, I've the bit of buh.
Right.
You know, I've the bit of buh.
Hello, Kevin, what do you think it is?
I listen to every second of your show, and I listen to the conversation. You know, I really believe it different. You know, I really believe it different.
No. Is that what you think he's saying?
You know, I really believe it different.
All right, hold on, let me hear it again.
Tell me what he says.
All right, let me hear it. Hold on.
You know, I've the bit of buh.
That's a stretch to say, you know, I really believe it different from
Let
that.
Let me just say once
I really believe it differently.
No, you
it's
are,
what he wants, mess,
you are giving Ken way too much credit.
Right.
No, you know, I really believe it different.
You listen to it very carefully. You know, I really believe it differently.
No.
You know, I really believe it differently.
Okay. All right.
That was an intentional stammer.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, I don't even know what Ken's saying.
What?
I think he was nervous when you were asking him the question. He was saying, I really didn't. Like, I didn't know.
Let me hear it again.
You
know, we might need to play it backwards.
Yeah, to see what context it was.
I wonder how it would sound bad. I'd be
like
scared.
Like Satan himself, you know, he communicates.
You know, I really believe it.
That would be Hubba Hibbid Iv Vi Why You.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
Don and Mike, buddy.
Right, hi, buddy.
Hey, he's saying, I really, really blew it.
Well, let me hear it again.
You know, I really believe it.
No, again, you're giving him way too much credit. All you can really understand is the part where he says,
you know, I've a bit of buh.
Once he gets to, you know, I've.
Then it's all.
Then it's.
It's the bit of buh.
All right, let's go to Ryan in Gainesville, Florida. Ryan.
Yeah.
What is he saying?
I think he says, I exhibited error.
Oh,
you know, I have a bit of buh.
Please, people.
We're at the studio listening on professional headphones.
He's mumbling.
He's mumbling because he didn't know what else
I've
to say.
The bit of buh. All right, here's Todd from Wichita. Mike, I think we can agree on that translation.
I've
you know, I the did a buh. I the did a buh.
You know, I have a bit of buh.
It's a B, Don. It's not a D. It's I the did a buh. Listen to it again.
Okay, hold on.
You know, I have a bit of buh.
No, I think it's I vibibibibib.
You know, You changed it again.
You know,
you changed your own when you said it. You went from a ditta to a bitta.
Okay, wait.
You know, I vibibibib.
See, it's I. You know, I vibibibib.
No. It's, now it's very clear to me. It's you know, I vibibibib.
Vibibibib. You mean you don't want to give? I think your first b has two syllables. It's a bitta b.
Hold on, let me hear it again.
You know, I vibibibib.
Bitta b. Yeah.
You know, I vibibibib. You know I've
I thought you agreed with me that we're putting the two of VI sounds.
I'm changing it now. Hold on.
You know I've the bit of buh.
Let me hear it again. Hold on.
You know I've the bit of buh.
You know I've the bit of buh.
B-I-bitty-bo, B-O-bo, bitty-bi-bo, B-U-boo, biggy-bi-bo-boo, C-I-say, C-E-C, C-I-sicky-sci, C-O-so, sicky-sci-so, C-U-su, sicky-sci-so-su. D-A-Day, D-E-D, D-I-Dicky-Di, D-O-Do, Dicky-Di-Do, D-U-Do, Dicky-Di-Do-Do. R-A-Ray, R-E-Re, R-I-Rinky-Ray, R-O-Ro, Rinky-Ry-Ro, R-U-Ro, Rinky-Ry-Ro-Ro. Hello, Rob.
Isn't there a sound at the end? Like an N sound as he trails?
You know, I have a bit of it.
Like Bevan?
It's kind of a...
No, it's a blah, blah, blah.
It's one of his patented exhales, though. It's one of his...
Yeah, it's a good one.
You know I... Blah, 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 blah.
You know I... Blah, blah, blah.
Those are three. Blah, blah, blah. Hello.
Yes.
Don and Mike Show.
He's saying he's very, very pissed.
No.
He's
probably saying that now.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. He's saying, you know, everybody's different. You know,
you people. Are you reading that? It's quite obvious. He says, you know, I've, and then it's open to, you know, it's gobbledygook.
Absolutely. I think
you know,
I agree. Everybody in this studio agrees it is definitely gobbledygook.
All right, here's Sean in Virginia. Hello, Sean.
Yeah, hi. It might be giving him too much credit, but it sounds like he's saying I feel very bad.
Let me hear that.
You know, I really bit bad.
No, not at all. Yo, hold on, I might give the guy some credence.
Yeah.
Listen now.
Of all the things, it's...
Because there is a V sound in there, if you listen carefully.
Yeah.
You know, I really bit bad.
Yeah, I feel pretty bad.
Yeah, I feel pretty bad.
You know, I
really
be mumbling.
Hello, Brahill.
I don't have any clues as to what the hell he's saying, but if you'll let me take that, I'm going to put it onto a reel so you can slow it down.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. That's what we need.
That'll work.
That's what we need. Do it quickly, though. It's almost news and comment time. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Don and my show.
I think, and I thought this from the beginning, I think he said, I've been very bad.
No, he'd never say he's been very bad.
But I tell you, there
I
are
think
times.
It was a mental flip.
There are times that I feel closer to our listening audience. We've had a very roller coaster ride with our listening audience today. There are times that I feel very close to our audience. This is one of those times. Absolutely. Yeah.
I thought that from the very beginning. I swear.
Everybody with their serious analysis of what Ken's saying.
You know,
You know,
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddies. How you guys doing?
Doing great, thank you.
Good. He's saying at the very end, you can hear the C in the end, he's saying very big difference.
Well, now, you're the second person that said that. I don't think so, but thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Hello, Tommy.
Hey.
Hey, what's he saying?
What's happening, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
I think he's saying, you know, I've wet the bed before.
You know, I've wet the bed.
We have a winner.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes. I think I know what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying, I feel very different.
You know, I feel very different.
No, but if you think in context of what he was saying, at that point in the conversation, I was just screaming at him saying, why have you done this to us?
What led up to what?
I think I was saying to him, you know, you lied to me. You didn't tell me that you were going to do this to us.
You know, I feel very different.
All right, hold on. Here we go. Thank you, my friend.
We're going to analyze it in slow motion.
Slow motion now. Ken, in slow motion. Here we go. We're ready.
You know, I feel very different.
Regular speed.
You know, I really bit it bad.
All right, back again. Slow it even slower, Robbie.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Don't laugh. This is important research. Back it up again.
I'm sorry. Listen,
count the syllables now. Mm-hmm. Count the syllables. You know I... Bruh, bruh, bruh.
Yeah.
Go back.
Are you saying that it's three syllables as opposed to the four?
I've always said it's you know I... Bruh, bruh, bruh. Listen to it again. Let's count the syllables. Got to be a little faster than that.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Sometimes you can actually lose a syllable if you slow it down.
Right.
See that?
The buh
is actually a buh.
Want it backwards?
Yeah. No, I don't want to. Will you stop it with your backwards?
Has he played it backwards yet?
All right.
Okay. Has he played it backwards at normal speed?
He's dying to play it backwards. He's dying
Turn
to play.
On the fader.
Okay. Here it is backwards. Oh. Yeah, I got it. Up. What are you doing?
That's the funniest thing. This is too much.
Oh, Jesus. Tell Good Housekeeping we know we're the stupidest show.
Telephone.
No, tell Good Housekeeping we don't want the award again today. Please, we won it yesterday already. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh.
I think you've got it all wrong. I think he's ready to break out into Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo from Cinderella.
Oh, my daughter loves that.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Okay, guys, listen here. I'm a linguistics person, so I have a theory about this.
You know, I have a bit of difference.
I think what he's trying to say is it doesn't make a bit of difference.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
But he's saying bit of difference.
No, I think no.
Bit.
Listen,
you know, I have a bit of
difference. Listen to the difference.
Bit. All right, hello, Andre.
Yeah, he's saying I really beg to differ.
No.
You know, I have a bit of bit.
Hello?
No, that's bit of buh. That's not big to
different. I have
a bit of buh.
Steve.
Okay, it's like the guy Abu from Seinfeld when he said, Jitty, you're a Betty bad man. He's saying, I've been Betty, Betty bad.
No. Where is Ken now? Would it be possible to get Ken on the phone now?
Just to see if he could clarify what he was trying to say.
What he was saying.
And he might. He might admit that it was gobbledygook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I think he will.
You know, I have a bit of bit.
Of course, he might be saying, I drink calf's blood.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the aforementioned bedwetting.
Are you trying Kenny?
Yep.
All right, let me know if you get him.
You know, I did a bit of a...
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, he's, one of two things. His southern impression of R2-D2?
No.
Or Garrett Morris, baseball been Betty, Betty good to me.
Oh. Telephone. Tell Good Housekeeping, stay off the phone. We know we're the stupidest show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Scott.
You had him so muddled that he had two thoughts in his mind, and it came out like this. I've every bit of difference.
I've every bit of difference. Thank you, though. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, and I think it's a credit to our listeners who are trying to help Ken.
Right. Well, we can't get a hold of Ken, so it's a mystery.
It's probably an unsolved.
Probably an unsolved mystery.
You know,
Ken Stevens was mumbling.
I had something else for this break, but now we're out of time for this break. I mean, we were going to call a pizza maker in Michigan who found a saucy way to keep his customers happy. He sings them opera.
That's good.
We'll call him on another day.
When the general manager finished lying, he was unable to concoct any more. Therefore, he broke into a spontaneous mumble, undecipherable from the two radio hosts.
And what did he say?
He exclaimed, you know, I've a bit of buh.
You know, I've a bit of buh.
Thank you, Robert Stack. And we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I love to play in the mud because I wasn't the fastest guy in the world, but you put us in mud and I'm just as fast as most of the guys. Most guys can't run in mud.
The Don and Mike Show. They are the Dean's Peanuts, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I get put in the awkward position of almost being this guy's agent through the fact that we've talked about some of his behind-the-scenes dealings at this radio station that he works at in Denver. Now, I don't even know what station he works at in Denver. It's a 90-something, and they play bad music. All he tells me all the time is he hates the music they play.
So, and you're doing a good job as his agent to make sure that that they know that, that they're aware of that.
I'm not his agent, Mike. Yesterday, when I told you about my call from disc jockey George McFly, I told you that he had had an incident with his boss in which he had women smoking cigarettes in his studio.
I remember it well.
I also told you that he had gotten naked in his studio when he was drowned in a rain shower on his way to work.
Yes.
And I also told you that he had a job offer he thought from a station in Los Angeles. That was yesterday's episode.
He was mulling that job over offer. Got that job offer over.
Well, as it turns out, you know, we got to have more listeners to our show that are radio people than we do regular listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Because word spread about our conversation to the station in Los Angeles.
Really?
The station in Los Angeles called George yesterday and they said, listen, first off, stop talking to that guy who repeats every conversation you have on the radio. But second, we would like to hire you.
Okay.
To work at our station.
Good.
So he calls me today and he says, hey, listen, thanks for the help. They offered me the job in Los Angeles. The problem is, I've got a contract here at the station in Denver.
Sure. Yes, that's somewhat of an important thing to have.
And I want to know what to do to break the contract. Because I've broken a bunch of contracts before.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to him, go in, and this is really what I would really tell anybody, right. Go in and look the manager in the eye and say, listen, my heart is not in this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want a guy working here who really doesn't want to work here. You know, my future is in Los Angeles, so you should probably just let me go. And he said, but that is the same advice you gave me when I got the job offer from San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how long ago was that? He said, that was 3 months ago. I said, is that at the same station in Denver? Yes. He had just been at the station in Denver for a month, and he got a call from the station in San Diego.
Right.
So he went to the boss, and he used this spiel on his boss.
Uh-huh.
And his boss said, We don't want you to go to San Diego. We're going to give you more money. Please stay and sign a new contract with us.
Wow.
So he said, what do I do? And I said, I already gave you the advice.
Yeah.
And he said, but what do I do the second time? And I said, you can only use that advice one time.
Yeah, then you get your new contract and you're happy and you stay.
You can't keep going in and threatening to quit.
Yeah.
Because, well, eventually, who knows, maybe they would let you quit.
Yeah.
But he had all kinds of odd thoughts like, well, you know, they told me that if I got naked that I would be fired. So I'm thinking about doing my show today in the nude. But I don't know if that's such a good idea.
He really wants this opportunity in Los Angeles.
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so. So my last official act, okay, as an unofficial agent,
mm-hmm.
I wish that the station in Denver would let him go,
mm-hmm.
and I wish that the station in Los Angeles would hire him. And George, I hope that you never call me again. Because really, I'm like at the end of my rope with this guy.
He exhausts you, doesn't he? When he calls, when you have it's not a brief conversation when he calls you.
No, and today we're like 45 minutes into this thing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying to him, "Listen, I don't know anything about the situation, but you got a good job in Denver. Be the king of Denver.
Yeah,
worry about doing a good job in Denver before you go to Los Angeles."
Isn't his wife very happy in Denver also?
Yes, but apparently his wife could also be very happy in Los Angeles.
Well, that's important. That's always important.
So as I'm trying to give him what I think is good advice,
mm-hmm.
he's saying to me, "Hold on a second," because he has call waiting and he's taking all these other calls, and then he's, "Oh, it's the guy from LA. I gotta go." Click. And that was the last I heard from George today. So I don't know if he got the job. I don't know if he quit the station he's working at now.
Yeah. Well, he might. When is he on? When does he do his show in Denver?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know.
Good agent.
I am not his agent. That's what I wanted to point out. I am, and also I'd like to say for the record, he's a great guy with a real good heart, but I am in no way affiliated with George McFly.
He's somewhere, sometime today, he might very well be doing his show naked.
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, anybody listening to our show is going to try to tune his show in.
But he won't do it.
Right.
Because he's got to like read cards and junk like that. He just wants a way. And even when he got naked before on his show,
mm-hmm. he didn't do it to make a point.
No, he didn't. Yeah. He didn't even do it like an announcer. He just did it off the air.
He does it because he likes to be naked. He likes to. When we were working with him, he used to like to be half naked doing his show at the station.
Yeah, all this stuff with him, like bringing chicks in and doing naked stuff, all that happens when he plays the records.
All off the air.
Yeah, when he comes on the air, I guess he reads the. And you know what else he told me he's doing? He told me he's rhyming again.
Oh,
I told him that
was his big thing.
I told him that's a big mistake. He's one of these guys. He would sit down at, he had a show at our station
mm-hmm.
at 6 o'clock at night. He would get up at 10 o'clock in the morning, and he would call me, and he would say, "Give me the list of records that you're going to have me play tonight."
Mm-hmm.
So we would bring them over to his house. This was before the fax machine was invented.
Sure.
And he would go through, and he would see, like, at 6:05, he was going to play Mercedes Boy.
Uh-huh.
And he would write, 105 WAVA, it gives me real joy to play Mercedes Boy.
Yeah.
He would write down a rhyme for everything he was going to say on the air, and then he would not break out of that mold.
It's me, I'm your guy, I'm your crazy George McFly, coming up, we got some fun, WAVA is number one. You know that, I mean, every single night, that's what he'd be doing.
And I had to work see, this is why I'm so tied to this guy. I spent a lot of time trying to get him not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to him, "George, you're a funny guy, you're an engaging guy.
Use your insanity to be a better performer.
Just open the microphone, take telephone calls, whatever happens." And he very sheepishly told me that today. That was, like, mentioned right at the very end of the conversation.
He'd say, thank you, Donnie. Yeah, that comment was right on the money.
Walk out of your office. All right, man, well, listen, I'm doing the right thing again. So anyway, I want to say, George, love you, man. Good luck.
Good luck to you.
But I cannot continue to broker your deals.
He'll be going to L.A.
here on our radio show.
That's the way he is. He likes to, I mean, he's working on your record right now. He's working real hard on your record.
This is the thing. That's the problem. Before I knew Mike, mm-hmm. when I was climbing my way up the ladder in the radio biz,
mm-hmm.
I was known as a floater.
Right.
I would be a guy who would get a job and then would get offered a better job
right.
90 days later. And I would say, screw the station I'm working at now. I would go to the next job.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always climbing the ladder.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You understand what I'm saying? I would go from Rockford to Pittsburgh.
You did it to progress in your career.
Then you go to Chicago. Then you go to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Okay? So I worked my way from the bottom to the top. then when I had a family, since then, I haven't moved once.
Right.
I haven't moved one time since my kid was born.
Right.
So he's not like me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like getting naked. And not here.
Yeah. I was simply saying that he is, okay, I didn't realize you were going to defend that as vigorously as you did. I understand George McFly is nothing like you. I'm simply saying the number of stations. He is amassing a rather lengthy resume right now.
And I guess, I apologize, I'm getting emotional. It's the same way that I got with him today. He thinks that if he works at the same amount of stations as I worked at, that he's going to end up being a big success.
His would look... if you counted the significance of the radio stations he's worked at, his resume would look something like a bad cardiogram. I mean, it would be, you're here, you're there, you're here, you're there.
And also, you know, I got into radio when I was 14.
Right.
I was already out of my parents' house when I was 16. I did a lot of my moving during my young, crazy years.
Sure, sure.
He should aspire to be a...
Did I mention that George McFly is nothing like you?
Thank you, Mike.
I understand you want to put as much distance between you. Well, that is true, though. I mean, George McFly, you put you two guys in a room together. I mean, he'd be eating kale with his bare hands, and you'd be watching TV.
He's a good guy.
He is a very good guy.
He puts me in an awkward position, because I don't want to be the guy to say to him...
Wait a minute.
What?
I got to ask you, sir. You, for whatever reason, George is making you... A little weird here. George freaks you out a little bit, doesn't it?
I'm a little worried about George. Is that coming through?
Yes. It just seems that...
I'm a little concerned. Listen.
Yes.
He's on the edge, man.
He's kind of attached himself to you, and I know you want to help him, and making you a little crazy.
Okay. Here's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last hour, when I brought up that thing with skydiving, because I didn't want to discuss it with my wife in real life?
Right. Okay.
Same thing with George. Let's cut to the chase.
Yep.
George, you're a great guy. I love you, man.
Leave me alone.
Stop bothering me with this crap about taking your clothes off and saying that I'm the same. I'm your mentor. I'm not.
Right.
I'm not your mentor, George. I'm not your mentor. Okay.
Go away.
I'm your buddy. I'm your buddy, but don't call me every day. Okay? And I only bring that up in this forum because in real life, Mike, I am a huge coward. And I am afraid of any contact with anybody. That's why I stay in my house all day. That's why I shut the blinds. That's why I hide when the mailman comes.
Now I understand what it's all about.
You know, when the people in my neighborhood came around Christmas caroling,
sure,
I swear to God, I went upstairs and I turned the lights off. And I said to my wife, be quiet! I don't want them to know we're at home.
They'll think we're away!
Right. So that's where that comes from.
I thought we were going to actually talk to George, finally get an opportunity to talk to George on the air.
Well, I don't know. I would do that if I knew what time his show was on.
I don't know when he's on either.
I think he might be on now. See, that's the thing that's confusing. It's like 4 o'clock here and it's like 2 o'clock there.
Right.
And I don't even know what station the guy works at.
He's somewhat attached himself to you.
Yes.
You might, your plea on the air, I know you're hoping that works. That may not work.
Yeah. Well, I might have to try a more direct method, though, if he calls again tomorrow. Okay, so thank you again.
That's where he answers the phone, 7-Eleven.
The number you have reached is no longer in service.
Well, I just, you know, I don't want to be tied to the guy making these important decisions. And he's saying to me, hey, man, I'm just doing it like you, man. I'm just being like you, man.
What would you, yesterday you said you want him to stay put, right?
He's already turned down the advice that I gave him.
Okay, your advice was, hey,
stay where you are.
You got a good thing going, you know, build yourself up there.
Right. You know, if you want to do this stuff, taking your clothes off, talk about it on your radio show.
I think he's a Colorado guy. I think he belongs in Colorado. I think that's a good state for him to be in.
I
think there are just too many of his own people in L.A.
Yeah. He's in a state of confusion right now.
I mean, really, there are too many people that are walking. You can go up, Santa Monica Boulevard, and you can see a lot of George McFly.
I'm using this show again. I should stop doing it as a way of giving out personal messages to people that I know in my own life. I apologize. That is very selfish of me, Mike.
You do that in between the mind reading.
I enjoy it.
Okay. So on with the show. Now that that's out of the way.
I hope he gets the message.
Although, you know what? Maybe, Rob, would you call around and find out what station he works at and call him up, and maybe we can just get him on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I could tell him then.
Oh. Yes, well, you I know you affect change more effectively when the microphones are on than you do when they're off.
Oh, absolutely.
I think you'd be able to nip that in the bud.
How many times has Rob had somebody on the phone? He says, hey, he wants to talk to you off the air. I go, no.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him busy until we go back on the air.
That's right.
He feels safe in this environment.
Man. I'd also, I mean, this is just my opinion, I would also reiterate your advice to him about Colorado. because I think, you know...
He doesn't want to hear that.
He doesn't want to know. He hears that.
Thinks he's going to go to L.A., thinks he's going to be the next big thing in L.A., and I was trying to tell you, there's 100 radio stations in L.A. There are 5,000 disc jockeys in L.A.
And that station he's going to has a revolving door that's somewhat like a propeller blade, isn't it?
I'm trying to tell him that, but hey, man, it's a buddy of mine. It's a buddy of mine who's got to get you. George, look, man, we got to do afternoon drive, man. Crazy personality radio. All right, George. Hey, I want to be like you. I want to break the contract, man. Now, legally, what do I do? And I'm like, please don't involve me in this, man.
Yeah.
Okay? That's where I'm coming from.
I got you.
To William Shatner's hot tub.
For God's sake, the hot tub it's hot, it's ready to go. Jump in, the water's fine.
This comes from Oroville, California. Wheels and Deals, now distributing in the Bay Area. It's, as you can see, an ad that has all kinds of like used cars. There's a Mazda RX-7, and there's a 1977 GMC Jimmy.
I love that stuff.
And then right here, 6x7 hot tub, originally owned by William Shatner.
Originally. And a used, something about a used hot tub. I want to see all the pipes. I want to see that they have been properly sanitized.
All right, we'll call the number now. It's busy.
Oh, God, I won't sell the hot tub. What am I going to do? Spock, get the hot tub ready, please.
1-6-5-3.
May I come in, Captain?
Check off.
Sulu.
Sulu, I'm sorry.
This water is so warm.
Chekhov is the Russian guy, right?
Yeah,
yes, Captain.
Uhura, come in the water, it's fine.
Do you remember that Star Trek movie where she was supposed to distract the aliens by standing up on a cliff? Hello? And doing a striptease? Hello, this is Don and Mike. We're doing our national radio show right now. And we were calling to inquire as to the hot tub owned by William Shatner.
Oh, okay.
Yes, one of our listeners sent this to us, and we were just fascinated that you are selling a hot tub once owned by William Shatner.
Correct.
Are there any of his scrubbing bubbles? Is there any indication that William Shatner used this hot tub?
I doubt it. Seriously?
Well, what can you tell us about the history of the hot tub and William Shatner?
Well, a fellow I was seeing at one point was his parents were managing William Shatner's ranch down in Three Rivers.
Uh-huh.
And the hot tub had a fire in it. And he told him to either get another one or...
How did that fire start?
Spock, for God's sakes, put the fire out, Spock.
There Captain. You go.
Captain, I believe
I assume it was in the heating element because it was over in that area.
Captain, it's the heating element.
Anyway, they said to... he told them to either buy another one or get it fixed, so they bought another one. He said, get rid of this one, so we drove down and picked it up.
I started a fire with my amazing butt friction.
Where are you calling from?
We are calling from Mars.
I see.
We are calling from the Westwood One Network. And you're charging $1,000 for this hot tub?
Yes.
$1,000. It's been rebuilt, and it's got all that fire damage has been taken care of?
Oh, yeah. We've rebraced and resided, and I've got a new cover on it. And
Have you gotten a lot of attention, a lot of calls, because you put originally owned by William Shatner in your ad?
Not really. Hmm. As a matter of fact, the first ad I did, I put Trekkies, and...
sure, there you go.
Even that didn't work?
I had one person, and she says, I don't know that name brand.
All right, how about this? How about you put an ad, attention Trekkies, some of Shatner's Klingons are still in the corners of this used hot tub.
I like it.
And then you can go with the angle, Shatner's tub, filled with young, at one point, filled with young starlets.
I doubt it. He was married at the time.
Well, if you read about Bill.
All right, we just wanted to make sure this is on the up and up.
It is.
And we will put you in our file, and perhaps at some point in the future, your number will come up on our giant Rolodex, and we will call back to see what you have dropped your price to.
Okay. Well, somebody's coming to look at 6 o'clock tonight.
Ooh.
All right. Yeah, just one piece of advice, man. If that person shows up and they're wearing those Spock ears, perhaps leave the screen door closed between you and the individual.
Got it. Okay, all right, we'll do.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Is this the house? I'm answering the ad about the tub. There it is.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. The number one radio show in Haiti. The Don and Mike Show.
Joining us now on our Newsmaker Hotline from Denver, here is troubled disc jockey George McFly.
I'm writing a song, by the way.
I hear music. Are you in your studio now?
I'm in the sales guy's office, yeah. Hey, yeah. Everybody ready? Here we go. Oh, Don and Mike, gonna put me on the air. I'm George McFly, and I ain't getting bare. Yes, Don Geronimo tells me that radio is a business.
Oh, golly.
So I'm gonna be on my best behavior.
Good boy.
Thank you, baby. Thank you, thank you.
See, that, well, that's
bravo,
very good.
Bravo, George.
He'd never
okay, they got 1280 Ralph on in the studio. Okay, would, thanks, everybody.
He would never do that on his own show.
No, he wouldn't.
The boss is listening. Everybody's listening.
Listen.
On Best Behavior, please.
Listen, hi, George. I was discussing our soap opera-like existence.
Yes.
And I talked about, of course, everything, all of our conversations.
Right.
And, you know, I'm trying to give you the right advice, yet you are intent on taking this job in Los Angeles.
No, I'm not.
Oh?
Well, have you had a change of heart?
Buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Bud?
Yeah, bud.
I can't talk. Ixnay on the Los Angeles lay.
Oh. Ute eight lay. Buddy Bay?
Welcome to Real Radio, folks. Yeah. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm wonderful, George.
How's the baby?
The baby's great. How are you doing, George?
Oh, good. Emma's so growing so big, I can't believe it. She's already four.
That's wonderful.
And I'm only boa.
That's his.
Boa.
That's his kid. She's a real. She's a real cute girl, and she deserves to stay in one place for more than 6 months.
George,
oh, dude, I'm here for good.
George, I'm going to have a second baby coming up real soon now, and her middle name's going to be Emma.
Is that something? You know, it's not the most popular name anymore. Emily is the number one most popular name in America right now, along with Jacob. Believe it or not.
Yes, but we digress, George.
No, please, let's digress, Mike.
George, listen. How long?
Save my life. Everything.
How long until you start your DJ show there?
I don't know. Like 7 more minutes.
7 minutes.
Uh-huh.
All right. I want you to promise me now, because now we're on the radio, so I can tell you what I really think, okay?
Okay.
I'd have to be polite with you.
Oh, you don't have the flu now, or you don't have people over?
No, I really had people over, and I really do have... I am still sick now, George.
Yeah, I heard you. Why don't you get a colon, buddy? Get a colonic.
This is the old George.
You know why you can't? Because they're illegal in the Washington, D.C. area where you're broadcast
George,
from.
George, listen. I want you to stay at that station in Denver.
Oh, I hear
I
you.
Want you to be stable. I want you to keep your clothes on. And I want you to give your boss plenty of lip service.
Oh, I will. You know, I'm about to throw up from nerves right now from what 2.9 million people probably... No, that I'm not supposed to disclose to anybody, but it's okay.
They think you're a nut job. They know exactly what you're all about.
Hey, if I don't come in with an offer every single month into his office, something's wrong. No, I told you I was going to heed your advice this morning when I talked to you.
No. Here's what you said. You said, hey, man, I'd really love to take the advice. I'm really torn about it. And then the last thing you say to me, hey, listen, hold on. The guy from L.A.'s on the phone. I got to go.
Click. No, it's not. I just wanted I'm sorry. You know what? I love talking to you, but it was my mom, and I just didn't want to, you know.
No, it wasn't your mom. You're wussing out on this now because now you realize that I've really mentioned it. I didn't say the call letters or anything.
Thank you.
Did I?
Thank you.
Did I? All right, so yeah. I did. Nobody knows what KISS FM's call letters are.
It could be
K-I-S-S.
Yeah.
It could be K-I-S-I.
It could be a K with, like, lips.
Could be K-S-S-S-S.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows the call letters? All I know is that you got to stay in Denver, George.
Mike, I will pay you millions right now to take some duct tape.
George, I've already said everything. Listen.
George, nothing's changed. I can't do that.
Stay where you are. Stay where you are. If you want to heed my advice, stay where you are. Act like a crazy guy on the radio, but off the radio. Act like you're normal.
That's exactly the advice. Now listen to me. I think there's a void, and I don't know if it's for rhyming and that DJ thing.
Oh, no, I told you that rhyming is out, George. Rhyming is bad.
Mike? No, I know. It's old. Mike, do you think that I could be a multimillionaire if I really show who I really am on the air? The most, like, call it eccentric times 10 radio. I mean, would you think there's a void for that?
I'm not sure, George.
Mike, now do you see why I came in so stressed out today?
I understand. I'm getting stressed out right now.
Entertainment, colonic talk, talking about health, liver, steroids, any drug under the sun. I'm a walking pharmaceutical.
George, I got to go. I got to go with the stability thing. I think you need that for a while.
Stay where you are.
I think that's good for you.
Hey, Don?
Keep your clothes on. Yes,
as long as you're talking in truth, why don't you tell people how many stations you've been at?
But, George, listen, I already mentioned this. I've worked at plenty of stations. But,
29.
Yes, but as I mentioned, I got into radio when I was 14. I worked on the building block system, working up towards a goal, and then when I had a family, I stopped moving. And isn't that what I told you off the air?
Yes.
Okay. So I do tell the truth, George.
Right.
Do you like where you are, George?
See, this is where we get to the whole thing with, I'm like you. You worked in a lot of stations. I'm like you.
I'm like you.
See?
You worked in a lot of stations.
See?
Hey, listen. After 15 years in this business, don't you think that I might deserve a paycheck and want to send Emma to a private school in college?
Listen, you retard. Listen, you dummy. Hold on, listen.
Hang-banging, graffiti-ridden crap.
Listen, first off, I love you. I only want you to do the right thing. Second off, you are making good money now.
There's a pause. That is a very pregnant pause. There are not a lot of pauses when you're talking to George.
I know. He doesn't understand because.
What did I tell you today? If you would have come to me a year ago, when you were crying about how awful things were, a year ago, if I would have said to you, listen. Yeah, everything's going to be cool with your wife and cool with your daughter. You're going to get your marriage worked out. You're going to have a stable job, working real banker's hours.
I can't help glorifying the past and then wanting something better for the future.
I can't help my complacency after...
You
will have a dream situation. If I said to you a year ago, you could trade everything to be where you are right now, you would have done it in an instant. In an instant, you would have done it.
Right.
Right, so what's the message?
Because I've done it now.
What is the message?
I've been fishing in Boulder.
As William Devon sings, be thankful for what you got.
Oh, I sure am. And the people, fantastic, especially when they're listening to 1280 Ralph right now. Thanks, everybody. And Bob, my general manager, what can I tell you? I'd like to go out with him every single night and treat him to dinner. He's just a fantastic guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See, I think he's being businesslike right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, now...
He's being very businesslike.
But now's when he could be crazy if he was doing his. And when does your show start? Aren't you supposed to be playing a record now?
What's that? No, I'm going to in about 2 minutes.
How often do you get to talk on your show?
About every other song.
Do you have to read stuff that's written for you?
David, turn that radio off so that GM doesn't hear it right quick. Okay, thank you, buddy. What's that?
Listen, never mind. I no matter how bad it is there.
You know I'm not going to go on the air. You know I'm going to go straight to my program director's office right now.
Are you in trouble right now, George?
Well, no, but now that... Well, Jesus. Yeah, I guess.
Why are you in trouble?
Don, how would you feel if I'm unemployed?
How are you... Listen,
go anywhere else?
George, how are you going to be unemployed? You have a job. You have a contract. You have a contract. You already have a job. That was my whole point to you.
Oh, man.
If the guy from Los Angeles calls, you say, hey, listen, that's a great honor. You know, but I'm sorry, I have a contract in Denver.
In your heart, you want me to stay so badly that you're broadcasting this to millions. Because you want me to stay because you really think that's for the best.
Yeah, you want to know the
truth? I agree with that.
That's true,
George.
I swear to God I do, George. Yes. I'm broadcasting now because, frankly, I think it's kind of interesting to listen to.
But, and I know it's not envy because even if I make 200 grand...
Oh, will you stop with the money, George? Stop with the money. Stay somewhere and be happy. You make good money right now. You make good money right now.
Oh,
you get to have girls come to your studio and smoke their cigarettes.
I know.
Just stay where you are. You got a happy life with your kid.
That is the advice, and that's what he said yesterday, George.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. Now go be a good boy.
Do you want me to play another song before I go?
Oh, all right, sure.
I got to try to write one, though. Hang on.
Well, you can do that off the top of your head.
Mike, let's see, in Denver, on Ralph, on JFK, in Washington, D.C. He's too truthful. Yes, he's real.
God. I'm going to be looking for my next meal.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
All right, listen, goodbye, you big... You big doofus.
Hey, guys.
Listen, be good, okay?
I love you guys, too.
Be good. Stay where you are.
Okay, I'll call you tomorrow. I'm fired.
Well, no. No matter what happens, don't call me tomorrow.
I need a colonic blood pressure medication. By the way, Mike, real quickly.
Yeah.
I just want you to know my liver's gone. Don, that's it. That's what? The last thing I wanted to say. Only have 10 years. I got Hep C, man. Hepatitis C, I think.
That's the other thing I'm hearing.
Chronic fatigue, bad liver, so what?
I only got 10 years to live. Why shouldn't I take the gig in Los Angeles? All right, listen. 10 years from now, if you're dead, then you'll be able to say, I told you so.
You're going to eat your words. I hope not. Yeah, you're right.
I want you to be alive. I want you just to stay in the same place.
Death is the only great adventure, my friend.
Goodbye, George.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
This is, man, I was transported back to the lunchroom. That's what he used to do to me in the lunchroom, talking about his colonics and his liver. Hey, Mike, my liver is gone. Thanks, George.
Good golly, Miss Mona. And you asked me why I got all wound up about that today.
He can get you. He can get you into that next level.
Right. Welcome to my world. Try it when you're sitting on your couch and you got 100-degree temperature and you got George McFly screaming at you, "Hey, man, it's my destiny."
I guess this wouldn't be the time to ask if we could sometime have George on the show again.
Yeah,
I sure enjoy talking to him.
I will give him your home number.
No, I like it on the air. I don't want it at home.
He asked for it, and I said, you know what? Another one of my many lies. To George. I said, Mike has just moved and changed his number. I'm not sure what it is now.
Yeah. Thank you. I owe you for that.
You're welcome.
I owe you because on the air, I love it. I'm laughing. I'm showing my teeth. I'm laughing so hard. Privately, at home, I swear to God, I'd never make another tea time. Because, he keeps you on for an hour and a half.
He's a chatty Cathy, all right.
And he's got his guitar with him all the time.
You know, the thing is, here's what's frustrating about George. As you could hear, he's a pretty engaging guy.
Yeah. Yes.
What I try to do with him is try to get some of that on the record intros. I would say, listen, you big dummy, just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee when he comes on the air tonight on the show, he'll be going, 5 minutes after the big hour, I got 9 more big hits in a row, baby. Roses are red, violets are blue. Whatever he's going to say. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Here's another guy that's constantly asking us for advice.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Don.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi there, Tom.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
All right.
Hey, everybody. This is our good friend Tommy Gavin. Sure. Tommy G.
Yep. I'd like to take that guy's place at Denver.
Ah, always looking for himself.
How do you spell Denver?
D-A-V-I-E.
Perfect.
Got it. All right. Bye, Tom. Call me in the office. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to Davie International Airport.
We'll be right back.
Different stories that both involve some of your favorite food products.
What are the food products?
Chiquita bananas.
Chiquita! I love bananas! You know I love banana split!
And Oscar Mayer wieners.
Oh, hot dogs!
Yes.
Oh, I wish I was an Oscar Mayer wiener!
Now, Charlie, I'm glad you brought that up.
Uh-huh.
The whole reason that Oscar Mayer has a 1-800 number is that they're having some cockamamie contest.
Cockamamie!
To find out
for cockamamie!
Who can sing the Oscar Mayer song the best?
Oh, okay.
And I
which
thought
one,
immediately,
the bologna song or the hot dog song?
We'll call them. We'll find out, Charlie.
I know, Tom. Bologna song. Better than I know the hot dog song. I know the whole bologna song.
All right, let's call now. I thought of you immediately when I saw this, Charlie.
We're calling Oscar Mayer?
Right now.
All right.
Now, I've been told that
I bet he's a nice man.
Thank you for calling the Oscar Mayer Talent Search Line.
Mm-hmm.
Through September 1st, 1997, 30 Oscar Mayer hot doggers in 10 Wienermobiles will crisscross the country visiting over 100 cities, auditioning children for the chance to be in a television commercial.
Yes. I'll come to our city.
In the ages of 3 and 12, as of June 1st, 1997.
3 and 12. How old are you, Charlie?
I'm 58.
Oscar Mayer Wiener Jingle or Bologna Song.
Auditions I hope they come to all the cities only. You're on in.
I think they said you got to be between 3 and 12.
No!
All right, hold on.
Please, no. I want to audition.
Oh, I want you to also.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R.
If you would like to hear the words to the Oscar Mayer Wiener Jingle, please press 1
yes,
now.
Yes, I want to hear now.
All right, Charlie, here we go.
Okay, I'll write it down.
Hello?
I can write. I can write. How come we're not hearing the word?
Because it's very slow, Charlie.
I hate very slow.
Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer winner.
You're very slow,
that
Johnny.
That is what I could be. For if I was an Oscar Mayer winner, everyone would be in love with me.
Now grab a pen if you would like to write down the words to the Oscar Mayer wiener jingle.
I know it, John.
I wish I were Oscar Mayer wiener.
Too fast.
That is what I truly like to be.
The most retarded line.
If I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
Too fast!
All right, let me try the other one, Charlie.
I remember.
If you would like information on talent search,
I want to talk to a real person.
Hold on, they got another line. Hit two from Baloney lyric.
Baloney.
If you would like to hear the words to the Oscar Mayer wiener jingle,
this one.
Please press one
my
now.
My baloney.
If you would like to hear the words to the Oscar Mayer baloney song,
Don, I want to audition.
Press two.
Okay, I'm trying to get there, Charlie.
I want to audition, Don.
Hold on, I'm trying to get there. Hello.
My baloney has a first name, it's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name, it's M-A-Y-E-R. I love to eat it every day, but if you ask me why, I'll say, 'cause Oscar Mayer has a way with D-O-L-O-G-N-A.
Are they going to tell you the words again, in case you're really stupid?
If you would like to write down the Oscar Mayer baloney song.
Write them down anyway, Charlie.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day.
I love to eat it every day.
If you ask me why, Oscar Mayer has a way.
Mayer
has a way.
You're gonna be an ice cream headache, Charlie.
Thank you, Don.
All right, now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? I could do a commercial. So, Charlie.
If you would like information.
You don't have to go.
Search auditions in your area.
Stay during the commercial.
Please press one.
One.
Now.
When we come back.
To return to the main menu.
All right.
Press two.
When we come back from the break,
yes,
we'll hit three, which is where we get an attendant.
Oh, good, an attendant.
Where you can enter the contest.
I used to know a lot of attendants.
You did?
Yeah, back in the old days.
Yes, if you would like to hear the words to the Oscar Mayer wiener jingle, please press 1 now.
You already know the words, Charlie.
I wish I was an Oscar Mayer wiener.
You already know the words, Charlie.
I know all the words to the Oscar Mayer song.
When we come back from the break, we will hit 3.
Yeah, hit 3.
And we will get you an attendant and we'll let you enter the contest,
all
okay?
All right, that's great. Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener.
Oh, please.
That is what I'd really like to be. Because if I was an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me and Charlie.
Now grab a pen if you would like to write down the words to the Oscar Mayer wiener.
Not again. Not again.
I wish I were an Oscar Mayer.
Right, we'll be right back.
All right, John. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.